Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host. And tonight, I'm your host of Straight Talk. We are the talk show that is made for men. It's made by men. It is the place that not even women want to miss out on, because we take on life, love, relationships, social challenges, business, money, and we always do it from a man's perspective. This is the place where political correctness dies. This is the place where men get to speak like men. And some say I'm a caveman. So let's bring in the caveman beat. Thank you. going on? What's going on, everyone? It's Sunday night, and you know what time it is. It's 7 o'clock, and it's time for some straight talk. You know, that talk show that is made for men by men. And it's the place that not even the ladies want to miss, because we give the greatest opportunity for man to be able to speak like men, even if you want to be caveman, me man, you woman, man speak, woman listen. This is the place where men get to think, speak, and act like men, where toxic masculinity doesn't exist. The freedom of manhood. And if any woman wants to really understand how men think, what's really on their mind in an unfiltered way, this is the best place in the universe. So I see you in the house, country boy. Ghost, what's going on? What's going on? If you guys joined me Friday, you had a very special treat. We had a woman who was a sex worker, and man, did she lay out, some reality on what women really, really want. Very interesting discussion. If you haven't seen it, it's an intimate discussion, intimate conversation with the sex worker. And tonight, this is not like a sequel, but it's very interesting because we hear so much about equality and women can do anything a man can do. And it was very interesting to hear what a woman who was 27, stands 6'1", and she makes men pay for her company to look at her. Very interesting. Clearly not what you would say is equal to men. I mean, whether it's OnlyFans or Cam Girl or Call Girl or what do they call them? Escorts. They still depend on men. So difficult for women to achieve the kind of equality they claim to want when they depend on men so much. And we're going to open up that exact can of worms. We're going to get into it, straight talk style. And there's a woman on Instagram who likes to comment on my site. She has many things to say on my posts. I'd love it if you joined me in this conversation and make your case. Love it. Would love it. The door is open. No need to run and hide. Gentlemen, question. Do women really want equality? I was part of a very interesting conversation on Clubhouse. This was sort of the gist of it. Men and women, very much back and forth, asked some really good questions. Women never, ever responded to it. What's going on, Grego? Good to see you in the house, man. So let me give you some of my thoughts on this topic. And for me, the thoughts go like this. And I think women have misrepresented themselves. So, you know, I always like a second topic. My other topic for this show is what would happen if women were treated equal to men. So that's kind of where we're coming from. Do women really want equality? What would happen if women were treated equal to men? Is that what women absolutely truly want? Do they really comprehend what that means? Even when you talk about business, money, economics, I mean, you guys have heard me say the number one way women achieve wealth in their life is through marriage, not through a job. The number one way is through marriage. See you guys coming in and into Instagram. What's going on, Drew? This D up. Good to see you guys. So we're talking about, do women really want equality? what would, another way to look at it is, would women, what would happen if women were treated equal, like they say, equal to men? So here were some of my thoughts. For more than a century, women have had access to money and education, yet they have never produced a Fortune 500 corporation that employs females only. They have never, ever founded a Fortune 500. And for some reason, even though they lack equal accomplishments as men, they believe they are equal. If men were to accept the idea of complete equality, what would happen to women? Would they be employed in the military? And think about that. Would they be employed in the police? How about the fire department? If companies made women meet the same exact standards as men because of equality, how many women would move up even into management? See, when we look at, and then when we look at social aspects of life, would women want to have equal responsibilities in dating? Would they want to be penalized the same as men for criminal offenses? And so there's an obvious case where women are asking for more than their fair share. So look at the WNBA. Women are actually asking to be paid equal to men. I did a show on that several months ago. So this pattern, when you look at the WNBA, is seen throughout society. Tonight, we're going to undress the topic and deal with the facts. We're going to strip it down, ladies. So come join us, ladies, with the facts. Exactly. We're going to pull out the facts, Drew. Absolutely. We're going to pull them out. Yeah. In some ways, we won't be pulling out, right? We're going to impregnate this conversation. Grego, I don't know if feminism was ever genuine, because I don't know if it ever was. There was always this notion of getting the man out the house. Charles Fourier, French sociologist in 1837, 1838, is the one who coined the term feminism. So women didn't even coin the term. A man did it. It's always been this socialistic structure. So you have your shoes on. Well, you're ready to go, country boy. You're a caveman too, huh? Chest and arms. Yes, it's Sunday. Chest and arms for me too. Definitely. I'll run tomorrow. Yeah. The Smith's machine is less. It's less. But I still like the free. I still like the free bench. But yeah, I mean, I do what works, right? It's what's available. Oh, cool, country boy. Blue, huh? It's a blue day. Hey, and Grego, I did this whole show on it, and I pulled out all these stats showing that women don't play the same amount of games. They don't play they don't have the same amount of players. They don't perform at the same level. I mean, it was just went on and on. They don't earn the same. We looked at how much, I think the NBA is like grosses billions of dollars, and the WNBA grosses like $100 million, something like that. And it's still being funded by men. So the WNBA is, that's a perfect example where it's obvious, right? And it's interesting if women will actually debate and argue and say, well, the women in the WNBA put in the same hours of practice, which is not provable. They have all these reasons, but the fact is they cannot justify. Like, where's the money going to come from for them? And then if you look at endorsements, are they getting the same kind of endorsements that men are? So it's pretty obvious. when you look at it from a sports perspective, and I think women will kind of concede and say, well, that's athletics. Well, it's different. But technically, they're using the same basis in argument that the WNBA players are saying for corporate America. I mean, all the stats. If you take a female-only company and a male company, the male company has greater productivity than the women. Women take 60% more sick leave. When I brought this up with women, they said, well, women have children. I said, yes, and why should a company be obligated to pay you for that? They said, well, then they said, well, studies show you're a better performer with the more time you take off. Like, they were just coming up with excuse after excuse, and they should get paternity leave, and it's unfair, and men should have paternity leave. Why should a company pay for you getting pregnant? Like, that's your choice. The company still needs someone to fill your position, and I talked about CEOs I know who said they put women on a fast track, and every time those women got married, got pregnant, sometimes they returned. A lot of times they didn't. These are all things that women don't want to deal with. Right. It companies don't owe – you work at will. This is, there's no contractual obligation that a company has to someone. They hire you, it's at will, and if they want to fire you, they do. Yeah, interesting, Drew. Right, women are socialists at heart. Right, they want all the free stuff, and yet men should work for everything. Men are hunters; they should chase us to make us feel good. All this stuff. So you guys know I like to do a screen share. So I'm giving you a perspective of where I'm coming from, where this came. It's just really interesting having this conversation with women, and when you actually lay out facts, it's interesting how the crickets show up instead of women talking. Now, sometimes they'll say, oh, you have to give me the facts, and, you know, Department of Labor has all kinds of statistics that men are more productive. They work longer hours, and here's the most interesting thing, and none of these things I'm saying have anything to do with me or my opinion of women. During World War II, when a huge amount of women were in the workforce, especially in factories, and they're making equipment, ammunition, all kinds of things that have to go to the men who are fighting overseas. Well, at some point, men needed significantly more equipment. So what did that mean? Overtime. Everyone who was working had to put in many more hours so that they could significantly increase productivity and the products that they send overseas. So there were still men working in factories. So when they enforced overtime during World War II in the factories here in the U.S., accidents for women went up 150%. Accidents for men, unchanged. Women's bodies were not able to withstand the demands of pressure of men, of working. And this is what happens, even as doctors and lawyers, the same exact thing happens. The pattern doesn't matter what the industry is. So we're truly not equal. We're pretending that we are. And men will put in more hours, yet women will say, pay me the same as you pay the man. Well, if you put in 10, 12 hours instead of 8, then you can earn that. And if you're as productive as a man, side by side, you also can do that. And that's not happening. Well, and Grego, so this whole equality of opportunity and outcome, a lot of the women tried to debate, like, if We don't know what the results are. If you give women the same opportunities, well, that's a lie, because we look at Sweden and some of these Scandinavian companies where they are much more egalitarian. And even though women have the same opportunities as men, women still take jobs where they make a difference. They're in healthcare, just like in the U.S. Like, over 80% of people in healthcare are women. Like, there's, I think women need to understand, as men, we have no problem with that. If you want to do healthcare, mental healthcare, you want to do things and work in nonprofits and do all kinds of things where you make a difference, we need that. We're not against that. But when you demand and say you're entitled to be CEOs of companies, and you've never, we don't have any women that ever founded a Fortune 500 company. And one of the excuses they were saying, well, women, it takes time. Well, let's think. Women like to brag, well, in the 1800s, there was a Madam C.J. Walker who was a millionaire, and she was so successful. So this is more than 100 years that women have had access to education, capital, owning property. In over 100 years, you cannot build a Fortune 500 company. How old is Google? How old is Facebook? Facebook is not even 20 years old yet. And it's trading on the exchange, earning billions of dollars. And that was done by a guy who was didn't even finish college. He was in college when he started the company. So if it takes women significantly longer to build, like if you need 100, 200 years to build a Fortune 500 company, then you're not equal. You're not as competent as getting things done when it comes to a company. And that may sound harsh to some women, but it's really not, because you have education, you have capital, you have women who inherited billions of dollars. You have Rockefellers, you have Vanderbilts, you have the Carnegies, you have the Astors, you have the Sam Walton's children and grandchildren. All of these people have inherited hundreds of millions and sometimes billions, tens of billions of dollars. And none of them, women, have produced a Fortune 500 company. And they don't even invest in women who will do that. Those women who are so wealthy would prefer to put their money in a male company. Interesting, isn't it? Because if it takes women so long to be able to create a big company, I mean, just think how many companies in the United States that employ female only and have 100 plus people working for the company? Zero. Yeah, I haven't looked it up, but there are lots of companies that are female only, and they fail. Like if they bring a man into the company, it alters the whole culture of the organization and they become more productive. And by the way, I've had clients who were small businesses that were female only. They will need a million years. Right, Drew, right. Feelings don't build rockets, exactly. They don't build bridges. There's a story someone told me about that women built a bridge. It was just for foot traffic, and the bridge didn't last a week before it collapsed. Collapsed. Foot traffic. No trucks, no cars, just people walking across. So I'm in a few minutes, I'm going to take a call. I'm going to share some articles with you guys, and we're going to look at some videos and see what some of the facts are. And if there's a woman in the house, I'm going to give you two ways to join the conversation. You can call in at area code 323-642-1387. That's a call-in number. It's 323-642-1387. And I'm actually going to drop a link. So if you'd like to join me on YouTube, I just dropped the link. So, guys, if you haven't smashed the like button, this is a good time to do that. Hit that like button. If you haven't subscribed to my channel already, Great time to do that. Hit the bell to make sure you receive notifications and check to make sure if you still subscribe, because YouTube unsubscribes people on their own. And share this, because this conversation is kind of a dilemma. A lot of guys have been fed propaganda and not given the facts. So it ends up making men become feminist and not really clear what they're supporting. So tonight we are really going to get in to the facts, and we're going to listen to what some of the women say. We're going to listen to what men say, but we're going to listen to also what happens when reality hits, right? So, you know, if we look at equality, how would that affect dating? So we're going to talk about that too. In the meantime, I'm going to take a call. Area code 870-870. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Good evening, Ted. How's it going, man?
What's going on, country boy?
Boy, but I thought things couldn't get any better, man. Here you come back and surprise me with more. Yes, sir. I'm enjoying this. You don't even know how bad I've been waiting on this show, Ted.
Really?
Yes, sir. I've been waiting on this one.
Well, we're going to get down tonight, I'm telling you.
Yes, sir. Let's do this thing here, because I'm going to be honest with you. They don't really want all the responsibility equal to no man, so unless somebody done lied to me, Ted, and tried to sugarcoat this thing, we really need to unpack some of this feminism brainwashing delusion that's running around out here.
Well, you know, I think the craziest thing is a lot of men are brainwashed.
It's both ways. You got your simps, and then you got your men that's woke out here. And I'm one of the woke ones, Ted. I ain't drinking that Kool-Aid.
You're not drinking Kool-Aid, huh? You're not hanging out with, what is the name, Jim Jones, huh?
That, right. So I don't know what these people are drinking or what kind of Oompa Loompa weed they smoking, but they need to stop smoking because they act like they crazy.
So we're gonna lace their weed with something tonight, so we're going to give them something else to smoke.
Yes, let's do that, because I love your intellect, and I love how you be explaining things and breaking it down for me.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
So let's see if we can get into this a bit. So I found an interesting article. I'm going to share it with you guys. It's from the Huffington Post. Huffington Post was founded by Arianna Huffington. So this should be interesting, right?
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
So give me a second. So we're going to do a screen share. And I want to make sure it's showing up. There we go. Okay, Huffington Post. The article is called What Society Would Look Like If Women Were Equal to Men. And I think this is interesting. It's written by Karen Camp. And it's from November of 2012. Updated January of 13. So, article's not that bad. So let's see if we can breeze through this. It starts with, in college in the 1980s, I remember feminism as a word so confusing and controversial, I dared not speak of it. Over the years, as I lived, worked, and traveled, the concept of feminism came into focus. So this is a woman writing, and she's telling you her story. But how is it defined? I looked it up in Webster's the other day and found feminism defined as the theory of the political, economic, and social equality of the sexes. I'm not sure why that is so controversial in hindsight. So she's not sure why there's a theory of political, economic, and social equality. So socially, she thinks that men and women are the same. So I don't know, maybe she pays for all of her dates, pursues and approaches men asks for their number. I don't know, because that's social, right? She opens doors for men and all that good stuff. Economics, well, like I was saying before, maybe she's one of those women who created a Fortune 500 company, and I just don't know about it. Politically, now that's interesting. Over the years, I haven't watched television for about 9 years now, but I've watched different presidents be elected and watching their campaigns, and I've watched news reporters literally stop people on the street. And it was fascinating when they asked, what do you think about presidential candidate, blah, blah, blah. It was interesting to hear, even back when I lived in D.C., so I've seen this in New York and D.C., two different cities. Interesting to hear women say, oh, I would never vote for that guy. Did you see that tie he wore? Do you see the colors that, you know, do you see the clothes? Like, no way, I would never vote for a guy who dresses that way. I've heard them say, I would never vote for that guy because he's not attractive. You know, we're the United States. How can we have an unattractive president of the country representing us? So I would never vote for him. So that's a little scary that the issues that's on the platform of a presidential campaign are irrelevant based on the way a guy dresses or the way he looks. He doesn't look handsome enough to represent the nation. So these are women saying this. I'm sure there are plenty of women that are very savvy, but we may be looking at more outliers. But anyway, let's go on with this article here. So she said that definition got me thinking. Definition of feminism. What would society look like if the word theory was taken out of the definition and women had perfect equality is what she's saying. That's what she's wondering. Goes on, she said, I talked to a number of women and all agreed that if women had half the power, things would be quite a bit different. If half of Congress were women, many agreed that life would be better for women and children. Interesting. The school day just might match the work day, and health care would cover contraception and Viagra. Said Kristen Bornstein, founder of the Women's Social Network, A Band of Wives, and author of the newly released book, Nothing But the Truth, So Help Me God. So, hey, look, you guys understand that? Women think Viagra is important. So is contraception. It goes on, the significance of women holding at least half of all seats was detailed in this New York Times op-ed last week. The authors outlined recent research they conducted, which concluded female lawmakers significantly reshape policies only when they have true parity with men. So while the electoral gains by women in the polls last week is a step in the right direction, there's still a long way to go. In an equal world, with half of all Fortune 500 CEOs being women instead of 3% today, women would earn the same as their male counterpart. So let's just think about that. And we're going to get to things like abortion also. But women say, my body, my choice, and you can't force me to have an abortion, or you can't force me to not have one. So if a man tells a woman what to do, we are considered controlling. So think about that. Men go out, they invest their money. Lots of men lose the money they invested in companies that we don't even know about. They just didn't make it, or they lasted a short period. Just think, a little more than 100 years ago, there were, in the United States alone, there were 100 automobile manufacturers. Most of them failed. That means the investors in those more than 100 automobile factories lost their money. Maybe they put money in somewhere, another company, and got it back. But you have to understand, men risk their capital. not only did they risk their capital, sweat equity, they worked hard and these companies didn't make it, or they were the companies were bought up and we don't even know about them. That's just automobile manufacturers. But just look across the board, there were even more telecommunication companies before the 1900s, just unbelievable. So there, look at the dot-com boom that we just had not too long ago, 20 years ago, and then it burst. All the investors that lost money, all the people who put in, you know, their sweat equity, the employees who didn't take salaries or very low salaries because they were banking on the company, you know, blowing up, doing well, and getting their money back in stock, you know, like many people did with Microsoft. So lots of men lost out because they took risks and they didn't all work out. And no one gets upset and plays victim. Companies succeed and companies fail. So if men put all of that kind of effort, investment, sweat equity, that means men own that. We put in the effort. How is it women believe it's okay to come along and tell us what to do with the very things that we built? Lots of people say your company is your baby. How can someone come along and tell you what to do with your baby that you built from nothing?
So yeah, women, that do sound messed up.
It is. So women say when a man tells a woman what to do, we are controlling. Yet women want to tell men what to do with the very things that we own and we bought. They want to tell us that we should have 50% CEOs. Even if you look at the government, look at the guys who died on a battlefield creating the United States of America. Men died for this. We didn't put women on the front line. Not saying no women died, but we did not force them. We didn't control them. We protected them, and this has always been the case.
Yo, Ted, quick, what? Just briefly, another point that need to be added along to what you just said. Them dudes would consider you a coward, and they would kick your tail if you had to put a woman on the front line back there. And you know I'm telling the truth.
Even
a man
today,
wasn't a man unless he fought for his country.
Even today. Look at this whole thing, selective service, and saying that women should be in a draft. I'm going to see if I can find something, and let's see what women say about that. Are women excited about being drafted into the military and potentially being put on the front line of the battlefield? Do they want that? Large numbers of women, thousands, being trained for battle. In other words, being trained to die. Men take that on with honor. Women don't want that. Yet they want equality. They want rewards. So that I'm just confused. So just let me go on with this. So I'm just going to restate. In an equal world with half of all Fortune 500 CEOs being women instead of 3% today, women would earn the same as their male counterparts. Bornstein told the Story Exchange. She believes having more women in charge would lead to higher rates of employee retention and paid family leave at companies. With women earning equal pay, the average incomes would rise and the number of families in poverty would fall. The GDP in the U.S. would grow by 9%, according to UN estimates, so we would all be enjoying a better economy and the U.S. would have a lower rate of public assistance. So here's where women, well, let me go more, because just remember that. They're saying women earn equal and the economy would blossom and there'd be less people on public assistance. That's what they believe. And with more power, the status of women would be elevated and we wouldn't be exposed to the same number of degrading ads, I guess like commercials. You would not open a magazine to the Valentino ad shown, they have a picture, because women would make up to 50% of advertising. Of the advertising world's creative directors instead of the current 3%, Bornstein said. And many agree we would have fewer wars. Women send children into wars with a much greater sense of grief than men do, said Carol Evans, president of Working Mother Media and CEO of National Association of Female Executives. At the same time, and so that's another thing, would there really be less wars? Like, is that a fact? Let's see if I can find an article to support the inaccuracy of that statement. It goes on, at the same time, some things would stay the same. Women still have to fire people. They have to make hard decisions and they have to pass laws. But women would do these things by working together with a longer-term view and an eye to the future. That's what they're saying. They would have a longer-term view and an eye to the future. She said part of this is because women focus more on what life will be like for future generations, including their children and grandchildren. That longer-term thinking would mean focus on preventive measures and health care today, she adds. Nancy Hopkins, molecular biologist and geneticist at MIT, says she believes that the heavily male-dominated field of science would change if female stereotypic behavior of caring and helping were embraced. For example, this would lead to more focus on preventive health care. Hopkins, who has taught university students for close to 40 years, says she's never seen any differences in how women and men think about science when they are doing science. For example, when designing experiments, interpreting data, discussing science, or generating ideas for new experiments. But this is, I'm going to deal with this stuff. However, the stereotypes of acceptable and ideal behaviors for men and women are wildly different, she says. I believe that science and the world will look different when the female stereotypic behavior has equal status and power to that of men. Hopkins says she realized this recently while studying the causes of underfunding of cancer prevention research. Over the last 30 years, there's been spectacular progress in development of new drugs that are improving the treatment and extending lifespan for cancer patients. At the same time, Hopkins says epidemiologists believe that 70% of cancer deaths are preventable. Despite this knowledge, the amount of funding that goes to prevention research is a small fraction of what goes to developing treatments for advanced cancers. That's interesting. Because as I already stated, there are lots of women who are billionaires. Why aren't they? If women, let me finish this. We're almost done. Currently, Hopkins is on sabbatical trying to find out why. She hasn't found an answer yet, but recounts an emerging theme illustrated recently by a man, a scientist turned VC, venture capitalist, that she met at a cocktail party. He asked me what research I was interested in. Cancer prevention, I replied. Appearing to recoil, he almost shouted, you can't make any money that way. That's interesting. He almost shouted. I guess he did say that. Try to imagine a woman saying that. The stereotypical female would not really be allowed to say such a thing, or ultimately perhaps even to think such a thing. That stereotype is a person who is obliged to see that prevention is applied to as many people as possible, as rapidly as possible, to save as many lives as possible, while we also continue to push for curing cancer. For Hopkins, it's when the male and female stereotypes fuse to make a new ideal that we will have a fantastic world. The ideal will be a combination of driving, bold, risk-taking world of stereotypical male and the caring, lift all boats kind of generous world of the stereotypical female. It ends with, I personally believe we are on our way, but it's a good thing women are long-term thinkers, because it's going to take a while until feminism is no longer a theory, but a reality for the betterment of all. Very interesting. So if we take that last statement about women being long-term thinkers, when they pushed for women empowerment, they didn't push the same for their sons. So that created a problem. So we actually ended up neglecting boys. If you're a long-term thinker, you understand that's a bad idea. they were also warned that the more women you push through to get greater education and give jobs, the less likely those women will be able to find a compatible mate, which means those women are going to be alone, lonely. They will spend a major part of their life undesirable and alone. A long-term thinker would have taken that into consideration and looked at what you were actually doing. Why would you neglect the boys and leave them to the side and say, oh, they'll be fine? That's not a long-term thinker. So really, it's a lie to say that women are long-term thinkers and big picture, because they have failed in that. They have pushed just for women. They're not pushing to have men and women work together. And they haven't looked at the long-term success of companies that were female only, or they just don't want to talk about it. Second part is, if women are so much into prevention and they dealing with cancer and long-term thinkers, why aren't they finding, because there are tons of women who have invested a lot of money from their father or grandfather or through divorce. Look at Jeff Bezos' wife and Elon Musk's wife. These women have billions of dollars. Why aren't these women funding them? Like, instead of going to men and say, men, you should think like women, just go to the women and let them fund it. Women are not even funding their ideas. A 100 years at a time. I think, who said it? You? It's going to take 1 million years for them to build a Fortune 500. So women are not long-term thinkers. If you neglect half of your society, which are boys and men, how are you going to have an effective society? And I'm beating a dead horse, but women depend on men to build these to create new industries and commercialize them. They depend on men to build these large companies that employ thousands and millions of people. Women are not doing that. So if you neglect boys, then what happens when men are not producing those results anymore? Women have had lots of time. Women say it takes more time. That will drag our society down.
Yeah, it really has drug our society down. And, you know, and it's sad that these boys are being neglected, like you said, O.T.
Exactly. And so, once again, why are men who founded these companies obligated to put 50% of Fortune 500 companies to put women at the top position? Like, women just want to make a leapfrog. See, they don't understand. So many companies fail to get that one Fortune 500. And what did men learn? See, women want to skip that. There's, we call it failure, but there are lessons learned when you don't produce the outcome you want. And women are not learning those lessons. And women, now that we're, this is when we start getting to biology. Women's biology don't have them take risks like men do. Women's biology don't let them be as confrontational as men do. So they're not confronting the very things that sometimes need to be addressed or taking the risks. They're more like maintenance. They just keep status quo. There's a woman who's been a CEO of General Motors. You hear nothing about that company, like nothing. Right, Drew. They want to skip the failure and the lessons that you learn from that. Look at any person who does gymnastics. How many times do you fall? Look at those guys who do X sports, those cats who are on snowboards and skateboards, and they do these flips, they do all these crazy things. How many times did these guys fall? They failed, and what did they learn from that? I mean, if you look at dudes on snowboards back in the 80s compared to today, it's very different. What they learned, like, guys failed, and they learned a lot from that. And women want to skip that. They just want the trophy. Like, imagine the X Games and those snowboarding dudes and skateboards. And you just give women the medal because they showed up, but they don't do all the things that men do. I mean, we would know that's ridiculous. That's like going back to the WNBA. How do women in the WNBA are actually asking to be paid the same as men in the NBA? Like, how is that? Like, how did they even come up with that as a possibility? Okay. So the article also, guys, talked about how if women ruled, there would be less wars. I'm going to share something with you that is all. See, like, this is my concern. Women will put things in the media and say it as though it's a fact. So let's get down to this, right? I want to shed light and put facts on this. They studied how often European rulers went to war between 1480 and 1913. Over 193 reigns, they found that states ruled by queens, guys, listen to this. States ruled by queens were 27% more likely to wage war than those ruled by kings. So the world wouldn't be more peaceful if we had more women running things. It's showing that women are more likely to wage war. Now I'm going to extrapolate a bit. War is great business. If your economy is failing, one way to hide a failing economy is go to war. What is that going to do? You're going to draft men. You're going to employ them. So any man that's unemployed, unemployable, you pull him out of the economy, put him in war, you shrink the population, right? So that less people who need jobs, the companies that make weapons and uniforms and all the services that the military need, ships, submarines, guns, all parachutes, bullets, all these things. You now employ significantly more people because you're sending people off to war. They're dying in uniforms. They need more bullets. You need bombs. You need airplanes. You need ships. All of this stuff then makes the economy mushroom. It increases significantly. So if the queens have a failing economy, one way to hide that is to declare war. And that generates great business. The economy looks like it's doing well, but it's a great way to hide the fact that you're failing your nation. States ruled by queens were 27% more likely to wage war than ruled by kings. Women will tell us that if they ruled, there'd be less wars. What did that article say? Well, if women ruled, they wouldn't want to send their children off to war. Well, they have no problem and historically have never had a problem sending their sons off. If you told them they had to send their daughters off, it'd be a problem. And if you look at numbers from 1996 until 2016, over 6,800 men died from enemy fire in the military in the United States. During the same time, 96 to 2016, 46 women died from enemy fire. 46 for men, 6,800. If we flip those numbers and put women out there and had 6,000 women die and only 46 men, that would be a problem. What's going on, Big Exclusive? Good to see you here, man. Always good to see you. Right. And a Big Exclusive. If women are so much into preventive, she should be able to go to women with money. That's a big one. Is there already a cure, right? And it doesn't generate money. That's a good one to throw in there. It goes for shoulders. I mean, if you're doing military... but if you're doing military and you want more weight on your military, the thing you're going to have to work really hard are your triceps. the triceps and pull it when you're standing and you're pulling up like that with a barbell. That works your shoulders also a little bit, your traps too. But if you want to really build your shoulders, you need stronger triceps so that you can get more up on military. It'll increase your bench also. I mean, bench is going to affect your shoulders also. But those military, I do a good amount of pull-ups. That is effect. But you need strong triceps to do this. A&J, good to see you in the house. Thanks for joining. So, yeah, we're talking whether or not women really want equality.
But you know, Ted. But if they, if enough of them, like you said, had a thought of dying in the military, like you said, wouldn't it that'll kill that whole equality mindset thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they wouldn't want equality. Right? They don't want women sitting in the front row of the military. Not at all. But no problem for men to be out there. Like, it's never a problem.
So what's driving this equality mindset, though, Ted? Please explain it to me, if you would.
Well, that's a good question. You know, maybe the picture's much bigger than they're actually telling us. Maybe women are just being used as pawns for something that ends up being a Venetian flytrap. It's even... Women are being used for something that's not even in their best interest.
It was almost like it correlates with all this conspiracy junk about this depopulation stuff. But I don't see why the pawns, why would they use these women as pawns like that when, you know what I'm saying, with this whole equality stuff. That would brought out the good topic that you had made for tonight.
Yeah.
Did I
yeah.
get unmuted yet?
Oh yeah.
Hey, then, Mr. Joe.
Also,
hey guys.
310, you're in the house also. Go ahead, Joe. What's going on, man? Thanks for joining.
Sure. Good topic. I always like the stats that you bring, talking about how women are making these particular claims but can't live up to them. So it's good to know, it's good for men to know that so that we don't have to feel guilty about saying to women, hey, chickie, what do you bring to the table? You know? Oh, and by the way, I wasn't on your show last week about high-valued women. Were any of the high, but I did download one of the videos that was talking about the A-luxers, you know, one of those 15 traits.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
When you, Kendricks, Reg, Chris, et cetera, when you guys get into conversations with women and you ask them what they bring to the table that they think, that they believe, that men want, I'd like to know what have your experiences been, because the women I talk to, they never mention the right attributes.
That's interesting.
Men want money for money? What do women bring to the table?
You're kind of muffled, Ted. Is it you or is it me?
That's
exactly.
What's going on, guys? I had to step outside of my party. Had to step
what's going on?
What's up, G's? Hey, I want to answer to Joe's question. They have no answer. It's always deflection. I don't know what the other word for it, but it's never really truly answered. They expect to give you some bullshit and you to kind of accept that shit. So, and actually, once they do that kind of stuff, my wood gets soft, and once my wood gets soft, I'm done with the broad. I don't play that shit. Hey, when I ask the direct, when I ask, I want to hear the shit. You come with some bullshit.
Oh, boy.
I already know what time it is and shit. I kick the ass to the fucking curb. When I ask a goddamn direct question, I want to answer. You're supposed to give me some shit. Like, I'm supposed to figure it out. But if really it's a word for that, where they answer it, and it's so confusing and she's supposed to try to figure out, but they never really answer it. So that's the game they play. I'm going back on mute. Like, y'all go ahead. Oh, hello, brothers.
Going on, Rich. Thanks for joining.
So, Ted, you've had these conversations. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Joe.
You've had these conversations. Do they ever actually mention the attributes that you think are worthwhile in a high-valued woman? I mean, I liked what she was saying in the video, but when we're looking for companionship, you know, some of those attributes that she was mentioning could be valuable.
What,
but
and Joe, let me say one thing. The other thing is really to the video. If let's just take the case you said. Okay, I accept that. That's you know that's what women can bring. Most women don't even bring all the things that she named.
That's true. Yeah.
So that creates an even bigger dilemma. It's like they don't even do that stuff.
Yeah. And those attributes were worthwhile, too, about an independent woman. She's not jealous. She likes, she's generous. She's sensitive. You know, those are the kind of attributes that we want. But when it comes to a relationship in particular, you know, what do you, as a woman, what do you feel that you bring to the table that makes me proud to have you as my girlfriend? And I'm not talking trophy girl. I'm talking about I am so lucky that I can wake up to this particular person every morning. Because she has that. And I haven't gotten a good answer yet.
You know what some women will do? They'll all of a sudden say, I'm not a woman, so I can't answer.
I'm not a woman.
Isn't that weird?
I've seen that.
Isn't that weird?
You ask a woman a direct question, what do women bring? And they'll say, I'm not a woman, so I can't answer.
I'm not a
you
woman.
You see how backwards that sounds. That'd be like me saying, hey, I'm President Santa Claus, when I know I ain't Santa Claus, gentlemen.
Yeah. I'm not a woman. Oh, my God. Hey, you know what? Talk about something which is similar to that, a little bit off the topic, about how people deflect. I got into a conversation about God. I'm an atheist. I'm agnostic type of atheist. And I was going through my logical progression of why in my opinion, there is no God. Do you know that? I was having this discussion with a pastor, and he was saying, and I was going, if God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-merciful, all-good, you know, he interjects with, yeah, but God makes mistakes. And I'm going, wait a minute. The God, you know, the all-powerful God. So I just wanted to say, I'm just using that as an example of how people can come up with, I'm not a woman. You know, and other types of retorts which just don't make sense to me.
Agree.
What's going on, Chris? Chris is in the house.
Hey, what's going on, Ted? Hey, Joe, I'll be honest, I do believe, and I've asked similar questions too, and I get the same blank looks and, you know, bullshit answers from Pastor, so I just stop asking. The only thing I say is I apply Pascal's wager to it. You know what I mean? Like it's you know it's better to believe and be wrong, right? Than it is to not believe and be wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Only thing is that it doesn't matter if we believe or not. If there's a God, it doesn't matter if we believe or not. He's going to administer what he believes. Right. So I understand what Pascal's talking about.
Right.
But, yeah, but one of these days on another show, not Ted's, because Ted's show is relationships.
That'd be a good topic for another show. But as far as this, you know, you asked a question earlier that I thought was absolutely hilarious. Like, what do these women say when we try to, when we ask them the question, you know, what does a high-value woman they don't answer. They just deflect. If you have ever tried to have an intelligent conversation with a black woman, you will be better off pulling your hammer out of the drawer right now and just beating yourself in the head. And it would actually be less painful if you did that. Because they don't have the intelligence to answer the questions. So the only tool that they have is to take away your voice. So if you try to ask them a question, something like that on YouTube or on Facebook, whatever, they're going to get your page blocked, get you kicked off or whatever.
Yeah.
That is the only thing they have, because they cannot answer any question intelligently. And if they do, the few that do will admit that you are right and side with you.
But, well, that's a good beginning.
The funny thing is they still stay on code with the rest of the women. Even though they'll admit that you're right, but they'll still stay on code with the other women. Because they know because to them, there's safety in numbers.
I was about to say the herd mentality, yeah.
Right, the high mentality is what dooms them all.
Mm-hmm.
So
amazing, Chris, isn't it? Oh man, you get into discussions with women, black women, white women.
At the risk of sounding like the ultimate misogynist, I thank God every day I was born with a dick.
I don't know, man. You know what? I've had discussions with people about hypotheticals, you know, and a friend of mine said he'd like to come back as a woman, and I said the same thing. I said, I know what I'd come back as. 5'7", nice wavy long hair, 36C, because I would have my world. That world would be my oyster, because especially in America.
So you'd abuse it is what you're saying.
No, I wouldn't abuse it. If I were a woman, I'd make my man happy. I would appreciate all the doors open for me, but the doors would be open for me instead of my doing it, instead of my believing that, you know, there's a conspiracy against men, which there is. If I came back as a woman who appreciated men, I would be the most popular woman around for men, and I'd be considered the target of all the envy of the other women, because they'd be wondering how come this girl, who is as beautiful as I am, seems to be getting all the attention from the guys without even blinking an eye.
Well,
because just imagine if girls did not think of being in competition with us and being afraid of men and thinking of us as a patriarchal society. Think about how we would actually fit together. Yeah, Ted.
I was going to make a joke and say, well, what if you were a woman except you pretty much had the same face you have now?
Well, the face I got now, face?
Ted,
nah. He'd be
no different than them. All he had to do was put on a bunch of makeup, just like they do.
That's all. That's right. And I would look even better with the makeup off. You know? So yeah, so all I need is some makeup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ted, I don't understand how you can read those articles and either A, not die of laughter, or B, just get so pissed off that you don't punch a hole in every wall in your apartment. Like, you've either got a really good weed man or some really good meds from your doctor. I don't know what it is, but I want some.
Right. I need some of that too, Chris.
Right? Because after reading all the confirmation about how women are so overrated, you got to go, wait a minute. You know, why am I even wasting my time with this fucking broad if she doesn't even know what she's going to bring to the table for me? Oh, fuck.
Nice.
Exactly. Well, you know, I used to think, you did say something profound, okay? You said you don't know if the powers of B are empowering them because they know something we don't. Well, I will say that I do think there is a concerted effort to empower them just for population control. Because if you look at it, the mortality rates from birth are tremendously low now. And, as a result, you know, we're running into food shortages and kind of stuff. So I do think that it is a way to control the population by empowering them. Because,
you know, that's
know
not
that
too.
Socialism and egalitarianism are two death sentences.
Yeah.
Don't forget
and that's not too far off.
Don't forget
because
the communism.
Because, you know, Did you guys hear the conversation that I forget one of the Rockefellers said to Aaron Russo years ago? He was a director before he died, to try to get Aaron Russo into the New World Order. And the Rockefeller guy, I forget his first name. He wasn't one of the more famous ones. He's one of the cousins with the Rockefeller name. He said that they funded the feminist movement so that women could pay taxes, you know. And, of course, their agenda with women, of course, as Chris is saying, is probably a lot more far reaching and long-term planning. But, yeah, there is a concerted effort to bring down America, and part of it is to implode it and to make women. Oh, have guys ever taken a look at gender studies? Holy shit. What they teach about men subliminally being the enemy. Oh, yeah.
If you listen to a gender studies class, men are just a bunch of – all we think about all day long is sexually assaulting women. That's it. That's our only thought. That's all we want to do all day long. Just go around – knocking women over the head and dragging them in the alleys. We don't want to do anything productive.
And see, that's my problem, Chris. Don't they know that's coming from a sexual sadist type of mindset? Only sexual sadists do stupid stuff like that.
Well,
their intention, of course.
Hold up, guys. So I read an article. The article was what society would look like if women were equal to men, and the woman who wrote it, Karen Camp. And what's going on, if you, I see you in the house. Good to have you here. So what she said was that women were long-term thinkers and they were more caring about society. And if you put more women in the workforce, society would be better, the GDP would grow. Well, if she's a long-term thinker, one of the things she failed to address, because she said, well, with more women in the workforce, it would be less women on public assistance. But what she didn't address is, what do you do with all the men you displace? Like, what do you do? You have men build homeless shelters for themselves. What do you think is going to happen with crime? Do women want equality where they actually marry unemployed men? Because men will marry an unemployed woman and never think anything of it. You want to talk about how we're not equal. A man could marry a woman who's unemployed and there's nothing negative. He won't have a negative thought about her. What women marrying unemployed men, just, it doesn't work for women. They look down on
them,
not employed. No. And they're looking for a guy who makes more than them so that they can put money in and let the guy pay all the bills. So an unemployed man doesn't work. But the real big point is, if you continue to put more and more women in the workforce, what do you do with the men? Because there are only so many jobs. I mean, I looked up, there are 108 million female adults in the U.S. and slightly over 100 million men. So that's 208 million people. And you have, what, 100 million, 150 million jobs? You can't get all those people into the amount of jobs that exist. You just don't. So are women thinking,
we're almost,
what happens when you displace men? And men also understand capital and how men build communities. They create jobs that employ many people. Women go shopping, and they may have an online job, or they basically have a career, that's a job that's a career, and it's not a company. And women don't really understand the responsibility that comes with capital, how men get capital and they want to have a wife and children, take care of them, educate them, and women get money and say, I don't need a man. So how do we build a society that continues to discard men and make them homeless? They're going to become criminals, which means women are going to be threatened more, they're going to be raped, they're going to be robbed, and men are going to be drug addicts, and that's not even counting the women who do not handle the stress of many of these jobs, and they end up alcoholics and drug addicts. So women are not the long-term thinkers they believe they are.
No, they're not. As a matter of fact, a lot of them they take they're going into the military, right? And being in the military is very stressful, right? PTSD is a real thing, particularly with men when you get out for various reasons. But the number one thing is it's very psychologically taxing on your body, on you physically and physically taxing on you. So, but when you get out, men, you know, some men take a 6-month break, you know, some men just bounce right back into another job or whatever. But there are a lot of women who get out of the military and they just don't want to go back to work. They just if they're married, they don't go back to work. A lot of them don't go back to work. They just be stay-at-home wives, you know. And it's because they can't, you know. They've experienced working for so long. They think that the 20 years that they did in the military means that they never have to work again. I'm retired, you know. And what they don't understand is, like, no, you've created yourself a supplemental income, you know, but you still have to work because military retirement isn't that much. But a lot of them don't want to go back to work because they know what it's like working. They know they're not built for it.
Yep. I want to share another.
And so, yeah, that's why that article was funny when they said that if you know, women were more women in the military, there'd be less wars and
I like that statistic. Yeah.
We have more wars. Women as leaders, there are more wars. That's what the research shows.
Right. More wars, and we'll be taking more losses, particularly if we put them on the front lines.
Well, as you said one time before,
we'll be like Turkey. Turkey's been invaded by just about every country except us.
What were you going to say, Joe?
Well, as Chris said some time back, I mean, the women can't fire the ammunition and the guns and the firearms in a combat situation that men can. So they would have to have specially created armaments just for them, which could happen. But at the same time, if women can handle the stress of being home in America working, they're not going to handle the stress of being in a real fire zone. You know, it's one thing to be a medic. It's one thing to be behind the lines. But to have a whole platoon of females at the front?
Exactly. And how many are in a platoon? Like 1,000? What's the number?
Yeah. I have no idea. But, yeah, it's quite a bit. I have a female coworker, and she's an engineer. So she texted me. She's like, hey, I'm going to be in Oklahoma in Oak City in January. She's like, I want to go to the gun range. She's like, do you have any guns? I'm like, yeah, I got plenty. She's like, can we go because to the gun range? She's like, because I want to shoot a gun. Last time I went, I got, you know, according to her, she got anxiety, and she wasn't able to, you know, finish her session at the gun range or whatever. I said, yeah, no problem. She's like, do you have something smaller than a 9mm? I'm like, I do, but what? But, you know, What's wrong with a 9mm? 9mm doesn't kick that much. You know, 9mm is a pretty small, fast-moving round. You know, it doesn't kick that much. She's like, no, that's what I shot the last time, and it made me nervous, you know, the loud bang. And I'm like, a 9mm really doesn't make a loud bang. If you think a 9mm makes a loud bang, wait till you hear an AR-15 go off.
That's right.
Wow.
So, because he can't handle the 9mm, now I'm having to bring my .22, which, clap your hands, that's louder than the .22.
So there's a Joe, I'm going to read an article by Joe Herbert. He's a professor emeritus of neuroscience at the University.
Yeah. Right.
Emeritus, right, at the University of Cambridge. This is from 2016. Let's see, am I sharing this? Just want to make sure it's being shared. Yep. I know you guys can't see it, but for those who are on YouTube watching, it's published in The Conversation. The link is in the description of YouTube. The title of the article is, Would Gender Differences Exist If We Treated All People the Same from Birth? And not too long. Let's see. I can run through this. All societies divided people into male and female. There is a biological truth behind this. Different sex chromosomes, XY, XS. But could many gender differences be bound to social conditioning? If we treated girls and boys the same from birth, what would the consequences be? More equal opportunities or a complete breakdown of the concept of masculinity and femininity? These ideas partly depend on what we understand by gender identity. Gender identity is not a simple concept. It is usually defined as whether someone thinks of themselves as male or female, though it's more than that. Even this is not as simple. Binary division between all human beings. However, we do know that the hormones the brain is exposed to in early pregnancy have powerful effects on gender identity. For example, there's a condition called androgen insensitivity syndrome. Girls with this condition are born looking just like other girls. Only at puberty do things start to change. This is because they are actually genetic males. They have the male XY chromosome. They also have testes hidden in their abdomen, but no uterus or ovary. Interesting. I never heard of this. The condition is caused by a genetic insensitivity to the hormone testosterone, so that while these girls secrete male-type levels of testosterone, it doesn't have any effect on their brain or anywhere else. The important point is that their gender identity is female. Does that mean that testosterone is ultimately what makes someone masculine? The experimental evidence suggests as much. Giving little female rats testosterone during early life makes them very male-like, and the opposite occurs if little males are castrated. Testosterone seems to be important, but is it the whole story? Is the fact that individuals with androgen insensitivity syndrome look like women responsible for others treating them as female, thus influencing how they see themselves? Give me a second. I don't know. They've got a picture with all these women. I don't know stuff of that syndrome. Oh, yes, they have women with AIS and related DSD conditions who want their condition to be represented by. So it's a bunch of women, maybe 15 of them, all look female, but they suffer this. They have breasts, they no facial hair, they have different color hair, they're different ages, young, old. In the 1960s, John Money, a prominent psychologist, convinced himself that gender identity was independent of early hormones. Put simply, if a parent thought their baby was a boy and treated him as such, then he developed a male gender identity, vice versa. This idea was put to the test. After a surgical accident, a one-year-old boy was castrated and given a vagina. He was dressed as a girl and given a female name, but it failed. Eventually, the girl reverted to being a boy. You might think that was the end of the parent theory of gender identity. But a second case, which started when the baby was 2 months, the boy grew up as a girl and accepted her gender identity, though she was bisexual. Interesting. So why the different results? Note that single case reports are unreliable as evidence, but it seems likely that exposure of the brain to testosterone during development does influence various aspects of sexuality, including gender identity. We also know that the brain in early life is very susceptible to external events, so both testosterone and parental behavior can influence gender identity. Beyond hormones, the next section of the article, But gender identity is also how a person expresses themselves in that society. In a society that represses expression of sexuality, this will alter how women and men see themselves. The important point here is that gender identity is both biological and social, but none of those factors result in a simple binary division. So could we abolish differences in gender by altering upbringing? Teams exist to minimize gender stereotypical play behavior. For example, some Scandinavian nurses, while this may have some impact, research has nonetheless shown that little boys still prefer to play with trains and little girls with dolls. Giving such toys to society that have never seen them in real life has the same result. Now that's interesting. Like that line, giving those toys, trains and dolls, giving such toys to societies that have never seen them in real life has the same result. Interest. There are, of course, established gender differences in muscular strength and height that are not controversial. And yet there are women who are stronger or taller than some men. In other words, there is an overlap between the sexes despite sex difference. Accepting that there may be gender differences in brain function has proved much more controversial. Many studies have shown, for example, that males are better at visuospatial tasks and females are better at languages and empathy. These differences are small and overlap, so sometimes they are not observed, but we should not discount their influence. There are also well-established but very small gender differences in the brain, such as men having a larger hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is responsible for initiating eating, drinking, sex, and other behaviors essential for survival. Relating these differences to those in behavior has not so far been very successful. This may reflect our ignorance of how the brain actually works. Now, that's an interesting, right? So we may have limited tools and knowledge of the brain to understand. And just as a side, you guys have seen that I showed articles where it says that women suffer from anxiety, depression, insomnia, eating disorders more than men because of the way their brain functions. This article goes on, society's responsibility. So it's almost over. There are those who decry the small differences that have been recorded or even consider that they do not exist. But why should we want to abolish them? It seems to me that these both reflect identity and contribute to it. It's no secret that sex differences have been used as an excuse for gender inequality, but that just means we need to redress that inequality, not deny that gender differences exist. It's opportunity that is crucial. If this were equal, would we see an even distribution of males and females across all occupations and activities? Not in my opinion. If a job requires physical strength, then it is likely that men will predominate. Also, in a branch of medicine dealing with brain disorders, about 50% of psychiatrists are female, but only about 15 to 20% are neurologists and a mere 5% neurosurgeons. That's interesting. Even though the opportunity is there, there's nothing to stop women from taking on those professions. That's very interesting. Is this gender-related prejudice or individual preference? Should we insist on a gender distribution? Of course not, provided the choice was unfettered. It may be that males are attracted by more technical aspects of medicine and females by more person-oriented specialties for reasons that are not just due to upbringing or expectations, but genuine differences in the brain. But of course, social norms also contribute to which professions we choose. So we have to make an effort to ensure that women are not hindered from a free choice of profession by societal expectations, burdens of child rearing or selective education. So that's interesting. You know, women have children, and so are we going to ignore that? I guess you could always have women who are designated, like they're raised to just be surrogates so that other women could focus on their career. That would be an interesting society. And the article goes on, but ultimately an unequal gender distribution is no longer controversial if opportunities are the same for all. If gender differences then remain, we should accept them. That's really the point. We need to accept them. Thankfully, we now see an increase in number of women as distinguished scientists, CEOs of major companies, and world leaders. But the problem is, this is me saying this, we don't find women starting these major companies and these science organizations doing these experiments. These women still work in companies made by men. The last couple of lines are, we don't even bat an eye when a woman plays King Lear, that most masculine of roles. Gender identities are changing. But let us not muddle the essential distinction between similarity and equality. That's it. Yeah, so I think it's dangerous to try and force women to be more like men. There are consequences, and we are ignoring them. I think that's abuse. It should be considered a crime against humanity to try and force a girl to be more like a boy.
The problem is you'll have them telling you, and you try to protect them and say, look, you just can't do this. It's not you. You'll have them telling you and fighting you to prove that they can and failing while they're doing it like they are now. Look at the rates of alcoholism, drug use, and depression that's gone up in women over the last 100 years.
Exactly.
And that's simply because they're trying to do something that they weren't born to do. But when you can't even tell them, even though you have facts to show them how it's harming them, right? You try to pull up a fact and show them, and they'll just say, that's your opinion. Wait a minute, what? No, this is a fact. I'm showing you the fact, the black and white of it. No, that's your opinion. So anytime they don't like something, they just say it's your opinion.
So, but here,
even though it's an absolute fact.
They will go into silence because here's what I had this conversation, must have been Saturday, and I said to the women, if you're oppressed and you think men are not giving you opportunities, why don't you stop begging men for jobs and just build female-only corporations, build cars, have consulting firms. Manufacturing companies, drill oil, mine for copper and gold, all that stuff. Do it all. And do it with women only. And that way you can show us how paternity leave works, paying all women high salaries, that you don't have this massive toxic masculinity culture that corporate America has. Show us how it's done, and you can compete in a global marketplace with female-only companies, and there are tons of women out there who have hundreds of millions of dollars or billions that they either got through divorce or inherited from their father and grandfather. Why aren't you women just doing that? And no one responded, like zero response to that.
Right. You see how simple you just made that sound to you? It simply is, simple does. You know what I mean? And that's how most dudes think. We think of simplicity.
But there's nothing stopping them from doing that. Or they can just start. And here's what they kept saying. Well, it's just taking a long time. I'm like, okay, so you want to brag about Madam C.J. Walker back in the 1800s, and she was a millionaire, and she owned business, property. She did all this stuff. So that means for more than 100 years, women have had businesses and massive amounts of money. They've had opportunities, and you've done nothing with it over 100 years. Google is not a 100-year-old company. Facebook is not even 20 years old. So how is it that women take a long time to build these companies and men build them in no time? So are we saying this is a matter of competence, that we don't have the same competence? Is it drive? Like, what is it that makes men jump up, get these things done, and we're in business, and creating thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of jobs in one company, and you women can't do it in more than 100 years. Where's the oppression?
I've had those conversations too, and I just get the blank look. You know, I tell them,
right.
You know, they say that it's because men are oppressing them. I say, you know, but then when you argue with them, like, no, you have more freedom than men do now. Women, there are more women on college campuses now than there are men, and you have the opportunity to choose what you want to go to school for. And when given a choice, you still pick service-oriented careers. You still choose to be nurses or you know, something where you provide a service to somebody. You're not going to create something, you know. You don't want to learn how to build something because it's not in your biology. There's nobody stopping you from doing it but yourself.
Well, and so there's another Go ahead.
They love bringing up the fact that they all insist that women created the first computer and the internet, right? Okay, cool.
Wait.
I know it's a lie, but I'm going to give you.
No, the first what?
I know it's a lie, but I'm going to give them that caveat.
No, but
what have you done since then?
No, the first what?
The internet and computers.
Computers?
They love to say women created both of those. So
okay.
I said it's a lie, but I'm not going to go down that road. But let's just say, what have you done since then? Why is it that you couldn't take that same knowledge and create the first cell phone? Or any cell phone since then?
Alan, during World War II, Alan Turing created – actually, the computers were not called computers in the beginning. Do you know what they were called?
No.
The Turing machine, named after the guy who first created it. What they did during World War II, the British, the Germans were bombing the hell out of their ships at ocean. They were having these attacks. So they hired a bunch of mathematicians, maybe some physicists, but definitely mathematicians. Let's say it was five or six men, and actually one was a woman. And Turing, I may be saying his last name incorrectly. Let me just make sure. Alan Turing. Turing, T-U-R-I-N-G, Turing. Alan Turing. He was the smartest of these guys. He was like this, he was this genius, eccentric genius. So Turing came up with this idea and asked for a massive budget to build a machine that could actually calculate an enormous amount of algorithms and figure out where the Germans would attack next. And it worked. It actually worked. He built a machine, and that was the first computer. Turing machine is what it was called. So women didn't build it. It was built to calculate algorithms to protect the British at sea from being bombed by the Germans. And it literally accurately predict, based on patterns, pattern recognition of what the German activity was. And they actually were able, there were cases where they knew where the Germans would attack next, and they let them do it. And then there were other times where they shut the Germans down. So it was extremely effective. So I'm not sure how women created computers with that at all.
Right. But like I said, it's evidentiary that they didn't, because they haven't created anything with technology since then, not even in the last 10 years.
Right. And they never created an industry. So if things were equal, if we really said, look, it's cool, you ladies are smart, you can do it all, we're now equal. You know, you've had training wheels for decades working in companies for men. You're now on your own. We're firing all of you, and you can go do your own thing. We're ready. You know, whether you want to put on the gloves, whatever you want to do, go create your own thing. Manufacturing facilities, you need to acquire natural resources and do it. And it would be – see, that's what equality would look like. You can – if you – if you don't want, and let's talk about abortion too, equality in that, but if you say it's unfair and controlling for a man to tell you what to do with your body, why do you think you have a right to tell a man what to do with his company and who he should hire? So this is now equality. And if we're going to have equality with pregnancy, well, that seed growing in your body, the woman literally is doing nothing. Because if you guys remember a few years ago, there was a woman in a coma in a mental institution, and one of the guys, I guess you call them orderlies, he had sex with her while she was in a coma. He impregnated her while she was in a coma. And for the 9 months that she hosted that child in her body, the child came out and she was still in a coma. She didn't wake up during that 9 months. So the woman is literally just a host, like putting a seed in the soil. You don't need her to do anything. You just make sure she's fed. And it's literally the sperm that creates the split, this placenta and all the fluid. The sperm does all the work, not the egg.
So I remember this story.
Hold on. This was the last thing I was getting at. So because it's the sperm doing all the work, when it comes to abortion laws, there, if a woman wants an abortion, it should be mandatory that the man sign, like a check that needs two signatures. Some companies have that. You can't get an abortion without the man's permission. He has equal rights. And if you want to have the baby, the man should have the equal right to say, I don't want it. He should be able to sue you and say, I don't want this, my seed to be born. But women don't want that, yet they want to tell men what to do with their companies. That's amazing. Sorry, guys. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just saying, I remember that story a few years back, like you say. And I believe, if my memory serves me correct, didn't the family of that lady try to sue that institution? That dude tried to rape her or something.
Yeah, they probably had grounds for a suit because that's negligence. Even if you're not in a coma and a doctor comes in or a nurse, some guy sues you who works for the hospital, you're probably going to sue the hospital. So, yeah.
It's another interesting thing too, is they tell us that we can't tell them as far as abortion goes and childbirth goes, that we don't have the right to tell them what to do with their bodies, right? But somehow they think they can force all men to get a vasectomy.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
Yeah, that's funny. Right, because they don't want to protect their womb. They want men to be responsible for their bodies. So here's what I asked the women yesterday, because they started down the path of, well, men need to make sure they don't get a woman pregnant. So I asked the women, would you allow someone, a man, to stuff food in your mouth that you don't want? They're like, of course not. I said, so you make sure your stomach doesn't get food that you don't want. Why don't you think you're responsible for your uterus in the same way? And there was silence. So if a man is not responsible for what goes into your stomach and you can actually stop him from putting something in your stomach, why don't you do the same for your uterus?
Good point.
Dead silence. Like, you know, next subject. Can we talk about something else now?
Well, that's like Chris said, that accountability thing. I don't think some of them want the same accountability of a man to it. I just don't believe it.
But see, men can start doing that, and when they attempt to change the subject, you don't let them. I mean, I yesterday I asked the question, and the woman tried to not answer it, and I told her, if you're not going to answer it, you go on mute and be quiet. And she went on mute. I had zero tolerance for the games, and that's what men need to do. It's like I asked
you. Yeah, I agree.
I asked you a question. It's a simple question. And if you're not going to answer it, just tell me you're not going to answer it. Then I'll decide what to do with you. And they can say that's controlling and misogynistic. Well, I'm a man, and I have a right to do that. And if you ladies don't like it, there's always an island you can pack up and move to. There's nothing stopping you. And if you don't have the guts to do that, then start building your own companies. That's not a big deal. And they're like, well, we are. No, you're not building Fortune 500s. You've had more than enough time. For decades, women have been saying it takes time, it takes time. They'll be using that. They've been using that for more than 100 years. And men, men fall for that. Men are like, yeah, man, they've been oppressed. Oppressed where? Where?
They've been protected more than children. How sad
exactly.
is that?
Children
exactly. who actually can't defend themselves, can't fend for themselves. Meanwhile, these women have the ability to, you know, somewhat. They do a piss poor job at it, but they have the ability to do it somewhat, you know. They have more intelligence to do it than a child, but for some odd reason, society protects them more than children to the point where they can abuse children and not even go to jail for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's an excellent point. So they technically are more protected than the children. Children are vulnerable to a lot of women, like a lot.
They are more protected than bald eagles. I'm serious. I mean, pretty soon, the our national bird is going to be a woman wearing a feather suit.
So I want to play a video. I don't know if this is going to be a comedy. I came up with this topic kind of late in the day. Do another screen share here. There was a woman in Instagram debating with me about this topic of do women want equality. And when I said women should build companies, she started saying, well, that's just a sign of choice. I was like, no, it's not. Women don't have a choice because they can't build these companies. There's no choice in that. And when they try, they fail. And they end up working for men, a man's company. So that's not choice. So let's see if this woman makes jokes. This is a video called If Women Ruled the World.
So, Sarah, you've been with us for 5 years now.
That's correct.
Headed up some impressive initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
Read that later. So I asked you in my office here today to talk a little bit about your future.
Awesome. I think I know where this is going.
Specifically, how that relates to Steve.
Steve, the intern?
Yeah, Steve, the best damn intern ever. It actually reminds me of me when I was a kid. Anyways, we just hired him as a junior exec, and I would like you to show him the ropes.
Is there a reason I wasn't considered for the open position?
No, Sarah, you're great where you are. And if you were serious about wanting a promotion the next couple of years, which, for record, I did not know that you wanted, I feel like you'd want to take the initiative a little more.
Okay? I was like, no freaking way, dude. All right. Love your shoes.
Oh my god, thank you. I got them on sale. You know, I saw them online at Nordstrom. It was like full price.
It sounds like you had a very lucid hallucination that you were living in a world run mostly by men. Whew. You need to shake this.
This is awesome. Nice work, Steve. Oh,
ow!
Oh, is this something that we do now?
Only when your intern's hot and scared.
I want to fuck you, Steve.
No.
the basic premise of what everyone's saying. Don't be a creep. So, get ready to meet the sexy new face of our ad campaign.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Ooh!
Wow, wow, wow.
You look great.
I see my laundry on those ads, boo.
I feel kind of violated.
Bill, learn to take the compliment. Thanks. So, Sarah, you've been with us for 5 years. Yes, that's correct. And I am sure I have loved every single one of those 5 years. Like, for you. Thank you, Bob. Oh, maybe, yeah. Listen, Sarah, you do good work. And I would love to give you a promotion.
Yes, thank you.
I will not let you down. But you're just not there yet. What? You remind me a lot of myself when I first started. And I wouldn't have gotten here without getting that extra push every step of the way to try harder and work smarter than everyone around me.
Hey, you okay? Been acting kind of weird all day.
No, I'm fine. She's about freak lightning strike to change all the men into women. You know about that?
Boy.
You know, I thought that if every woman didn't have to compete against one another in order for like that one little spot at a man's table, that things would be so much better. But it's like we just literally traded places, and now we're the dick.
No.
Waving mascara on my eyelashes doesn't actually make them any thicker. I've had to invest months in oil treatments and eyelid massages so they get thicker from the root up.
I can just put on false eyelashes.
Waving a magic wand just to change men into women is just a cosmetic difference. Real change happens when we start a dialogue about how gender imbalance issues affect us all. Let's see. Okay. You might need these later.
I'm not bleeding.
All right. I hadn't seen that one. Yeah, hey, Miss Twist, what's going on? Good to see you, man. I know she's a comedian. That's part of the reason I showed it. I wondered what she'd say. Here's another one I want to play. This video is, hey, ladies, ready to get drafted by the military? So let's see what the ladies... Let's see what the... And it looks like the man on the street is randomly going to stop women and ask them about getting drafted in the military. So let's see how this turns out.
Hey, everybody. I'm Dan Joseph with MRC TV. Recently, the Department of Defense decided to open up the roles that women could play in combat. We came to a college campus, and we wanted to ask people what they thought, whether this was about equality or whether it could have a negative impact on women in service. Are you in favor of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
For women empowerment.
I think that is good. I think that if women are in serving combat, they should be able to.
If the nation's willing to throw their daughters on the front lines, I don't know what on earth they can be protecting in their country that they're fighting for.
I think it's great that women are given equal opportunities now, but at the same time, if you're a mother, I wouldn't want...
Right, yeah,
a woman to be on the front line. But if you weren't a mother, I'd say, yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's interesting. So if you're a father, you can be shot in the head in the military and be like, oh, well. But if you're a mother, well, we can't lose that. That's very interesting. So
even though studies have proven that if single mother versus single father, the child turns out a much better product when raised by a single father. Oh, yeah, let's go let that father get shot in the head, you know?
Right, right. And as you've said, that a lot of women, to avoid going to being deployed, they just get pregnant and say, oops, guess I can't go. And that's how I guess...
You'd be surprised how often it happens. Some of them actually plan it to the day.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that, not even a little bit.
Like women are kind of not discriminated against, but really don't have some equal opportunities.
It's been shown that a small woman can carry a large man. There's different techniques for doing it, and size isn't the only thing that matters.
And it's fun to watch, too.
It's
like a really small girl, like carrying a giant guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same opportunity.
Be able to do anything. There should be no restrictions between men and women. It doesn't really matter what the subject matter is. We're all the same.
My name is Alice.
You are
interesting. So this was done in 2013. But interesting how men are being turned into feminists. So 2013, Kendrick, you were around the same age as these people. So this is what they flooded you with.
Dressed like an elf, kind of. Is that intentional?
The name did not come from an obsession with elves, but I have that too. I feel like they might as well, because everybody always fights for equality gender-wise, and I mean, why not? They train for it. They're just a, I think there needs to be a standard set that if anyone, like if they can achieve it, mm-hmm. they can go, but they shouldn't have lower standards for women to be in combat. It should be the same for men and women. So
exactly the same. No curve.
Correct.
All men are supposed to sign up for collective services. Should women have to do the same?
If we're going to institute a draft, then yeah, eligibility should apply to those sectors.
Fair is fair.
Of course, that wouldn't be ideal being a girl myself, but you know, if you want equality, then you're going to get it. We protect our country by doing things like raising our children.
Even way back in history, like the male's role to go out to war, and then we leave the women and children here to, you know, stay in the civilian life.
I guess. It's their choice.
Well, no, they would have to force you to sign up for the draft.
Okay. I don't think some women are capable of it.
There are probably a lot of men who aren't capable of it.
I think more of women, though. Absolutely. If you have men being drafted, it's only fair for a woman to be drafted. I mean, it's equality all across.
Tradition is that the men go off to war and the women stay home and watch the... I guess everything.
The women who actually go into the army are the women who want to fight. They know what they're getting into. But to have to sign up for, like, the draft or whatever, like, other women may not want to have the same kind of dedication to it.
That's true. But, I mean, equality, you know, if I have to do it, you should have to do it, too.
Yeah,
right?
Basically, eh?
I'm just saying. I'm too old to be drafted right now, so.
Yeah, I got it.
It's all to you, buddy. Oh, that was great. It's really impressive, man.
Cool.
As an elf, what kind of weaponry do you favor in terms of your own military tactics? Archery?
Well, magic? I can shoot a bow. I'm learning how to fence and use 22, a little bit of boxing.
A bow, 22, fencing and box. I'm not going to f*** you. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just not. I think you maybe would be great in the military. They would.
All right. Yeah, Miss Twist, they were struggling. They were not gung ho. Yes, they signed me up. I want to go.
Yeah, I had a friend who, her daughter was talking about going into the army when she graduated high school. And I told her, I said, you know, in the army, they have to do this thing called a fitness test, and every 6 months, they have to run a timed 3-mile run. And depending on your age depends on your time. So the younger you are, the less time you have. I said, I don't know what it is for women, but I know the boys, it's around, somewhere like around an 8-minute mile, right, for like this 3-mile run. I said, I'm pretty sure it's kind of close for the women, too. I said, you've never played any sports. You can't even run around this block one time. How are you going to run 3 miles? You're not practicing right now. Right now, all you're doing is smoking weed and, you know, and running around, you know, chasing all these boys because, you know, you're almost 18 years old and nobody can really stop you because you have, you know, more free time and more freedom now. So nobody's really going to put in the effort to stop you. You know, your mom didn't do it before. She's not going to do it now. So how are you going to prepare yourself to do all the push-ups, sit-ups, and run 3 miles that you need to in the military? No answer. Guess what she didn't do, Ted?
Go in the military.
She didn't join the military.
Right.
She's done nothing with her life since. No, absolutely nothing.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, I think the too many people use the military as sort of a crutch. Well, I don't know what to do. I'll just join. And maybe I'll have an opportunity.
And for some people, it does work out great. You know, Some people, it actually does give them that direction in life that they need to do what they do. They need to do to become a better person, a more productive person. You know, it puts them on a path that they didn't know how to get to on their own. You know what I mean? Case in point, I'm one of them, right? But then there are some people who do use it, thinking that it's going to somehow put them on that path, and they never get there, you know. So mm-hmm. when they get out, they just, and a lot of them go back to the same jobs. You go back to the same retail jobs or jobs that I know one guy who was he was a fast food cook before he went into the military, right? So what did he do? What did he choose as a career in the military? A cook. So when he got out of the military, he's pissed off. I seen him complain on Facebook like every how bad his life sucked because he had to go back to Red Lobster, right back to the same fucking grill he left 6 years earlier. And it's like, well, what did you expect? You didn't set yourself up for any success in the military. It wasn't going to magically happen for you, you know. Sure, you could have you started off as a cook, but you didn't have to stay a cook. The military is the one place where you don't have to compete to move up. You can just simply say, hey, I want to try this out. And they'll give you the opportunity to go try another job. And if you fail at that, then they'll send you back to your original job, but they'll give you the opportunity.
Right, right. Yep, you can develop completely new skills. So, absolutely. And there's education, so.
Right, and he didn't take advantage of any of that, and so he ended up back at the same grill, and I mean, he's damn near suicidal. Last time I checked, I'm so glad I don't have a Facebook anymore, so I don't have to hear a bitch every day, but yeah.
Hey, Joe, are you still there?
I am still here, yeah. All right. I found this interesting. I was in the military. I was in the Air Force, and I never knew of the other opportunity where you could get out of your assigned duty and volunteer for another duty. I never heard of that until now.
Yeah, and well, in the Navy, you could do it easily. You could just say, you know, I want to reclass. You know, a lot of them go in. A lot of people go in undesignated. You know. And so they work undesignated for 6 months, and then they go around the ship trying different odd, you know, different jobs until they find one that they want to go to, and then, bam, they go to that department, they start working that, and then eventually they get sent off to the school for that career.
I'm pretty sure
the Air Force and the Army has some sort of program like that, too, now. Maybe not back then.
No. You know what they did to me? I wanted to go in as a I came in straight out of high school, and I wanted to fly a plane, right? So mm-hmm. the fucking recruiter tells me, yeah, well, that program still exists. So I sign up. I get recruited, and I go through basic. Bam. That program ended years ago. The recruiter lied to me just to get me into the fucking Air Force. Can you believe that shit?
Wow.
Fuck.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, Joe, I know a lot of people who at one point the Navy became overmanned after 9/11. After a couple of years of war, the Navy was overmanned, so they start giving people early outs. And one of the things mm-hmm. was they had a thing called the Blue Green program, so you could get out the Navy as a regular enlisted person. Say you were just like a dishwasher. You could uh-huh. or a cook, right? You get out the Navy as a cook. You could go into the Army to become a warrant officer and fly Cobra attack helicopters. I know a couple of people who've done that.
Hey, cool.
Yeah,
all right.
You could do it now, you know. It's up to you, you know.
Well, they had the bootstrap program when I was in there, but they had to go for 4 years of college, you know, and I wasn't going to stay in the Air Force for four more years just to get that.
Right. Yeah, these people, they crossed over. They went straight to helicopter school and started flying helicopters.
That is cool. I like that. If I find that fucking recruiter today, I'm going to fucking punch his fucking nose right through his face.
Hey, so
I was going to go in regardless, but you know, you don't lie to me like that. Can you imagine the fucking lies you told other people? Jesus.
told them they get a lot of women.
Yeah, it's pretty common for a lot of recruiters to lie. They have quotas, and towards the end of the month, when it's time for them to make the quotas, that's when they start lying, you know. Me, luckily, when I went in, I had a I was 22, right? So I had a and I had a recruiter who was, you know, black dude, and he's about my age. And so he said, come here, man. He was like, I'm not going to bullshit you. He's like, me and you are about the same age. Take a ride with me. He had a Mustang, right? Nice Mustang. He's like, come take a ride with me. I need to go get some gas, right? So I get in his car, and we go for a ride, and he would just drop everything. He's like, look, man, it's not all the bullshit shit that they're telling you. Some of the shit they're telling you is true. Some of them blowing smoke up your ass. He said, and he told me, you know, we ran down the list, you know, everything's going to happen. He said, and the bottom line is, he said, just make it through boot camp. Once you get through boot camp, he said, the hardest part of your day will be being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. He said, once you do that, everything else will just take care of itself. And he didn't lie. So when I got to boot camp and I started hearing all the other horror stories from, you know, the other kids, my recruiter told me this, my recruiter, I'm like, nah, everything that's happening right now, I'm like, I've been expecting. I've been waiting for it to happen because my recruiter told me it was going to happen.
Interesting.
I heard two stories about the Navy, not with regards to recruiters, but with regards to women. There, I was on two different talk shows, and there were two different guys from the Navy who related the same experience in that they were there on their ship, and the incidents for both of them were the same. They had to unload cargo from one ship to another, and they had women who were assigned with them in order to do it. You know, these broads maneuvered their way and to making these guys do more work than the fucking broads did, because the broads were going, I can't lift that. Can you help me out? You know? And that's the experience of two different guys in the Navy who didn't even know each other talking about the same situation.
Well, you're about to get a third one, because what they're talking about. So what happens is when you take on food, we call it taking on stores. And what it is you helo pallets of food from a supply ship onto your ship. You break the pallets down, and it's all these boxes. And you form this real long line, a chain gang, from your hangar bay down to your freezer to where you have to store the food. So, and you're just grabbing, you're just turning left. Somebody throws the box in your arms. You turn to your left, and you pass it off to the next person, right? Some
right.
of these boxes can weigh, you know, upwards of, you know, 40 to 50 pounds, right? Believe it or not, the boxes of Snickers, goddamn, I hated Snickers. I didn't eat Snickers for like years, you know, because I hated fucking humping those boxes of Snickers. But the candy bars were the heaviest boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and I can't tell you how many women, like, this is food. This is food that the entire crew is going to eat. You turn and there's a woman next to you, and what she wants to do is take a step back so that you have to take two steps over to the next man. And hand him
the
box.
Next guy.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Get your ass right back in line. You want to eat this food, too, so you're going to hump this box. You signed your name on a dotted line just like I did. You're going to hump this box.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that they would do that.
Now that's the third incident. See, Ted, you found something out that you didn't have research about.
and I'm not even going to talk about how the captain of the ship had to constantly come over our general announcing system that goes throughout the entire ship and tell them to stop fucking while we are out at sea. Because so many of them kept getting caught.
Oh, fuck.
Mm. Yeah, this is a warship in a war zone, and they're somewhere getting banged out. I remember one night I'm going to sign. We had these thing called zebra settings. And zebra settings are they're watertight doors and hatches, you know. And below the water level, you have to make sure certain ones are always secure because they're unoccupied spaces. And if we were to take a hit the ship, then you want to know that space is sealed off. To give
right.
a chance,
so it won't get filled up with water,
right. Give a chance. Give it the best chance of being buoyant and not sinking. So you have to go and check these fittings, but you also have to go and sign them off to this one space, and you have to sign them off at midnight. I remember one night I'm going to sign him off, and I see this Humvee. And this Humvee has a line of Marines outside of it. And I'm wondering, why are these Marines outside this Humvee at midnight? Normally Marines are asleep around this time. The Marines are climbing one side of the Humvee, climbing out the other side. And I'm not going to say her name, but this old seaman such and such in the middle of the Humvee with her legs spread wide open, they're climbing one side of the Humvee, banging her, and climbing out the other.
Jesus, fuck.
Did
she ever file a lawsuit? That's the kind of brother would file a lawsuit for sexual harassment, too.
But you know,
no, they know position,
she, yo. Why would she file a lawsuit? She did it again the next night if she could.
What? Were the guys paying?
Ted, I didn't ask any questions. I didn't care. I looked and I just shook my head and just kept walking. That's all you can do. Put it like this. It's so common when you see it, you don't ask questions. Like, you're not surprised by it. You're immune to it. You're desensitized to it.
Yep. Understood. Hey, it's another video I didn't watch, so let's see what comes out of this. Dear feminists, men and women are not equal. Get over it. So this is a woman presenting. Don't know her position, but let's hear it.
Dear feminists, I hate to break it to you, but men and women are not equal. Trigger warning. Regardless of how many snapbacks and baggy t-shirts you wear, women will never be the same as men. Like, men will never be the same as women because they are not naturally designed to be different. Men are naturally masculine and females are naturally feminine. Wow!
That's right. There's only two genders, too, by the way.
Men are better at building sexy names and women are better at nurturing and caregiving, and that's just a fucking fact. You can call it a social construct, but that's not true. Men and women are very different in many, many different ways. So therefore, are not equal. Do they deserve equal rights? Of course. As a living creature, I believe everybody deserves equal rights. Rights such as political, social, and economic. Absolutely. Do women deserve extra rights because they have a vagina? No. You know, it's ironic because feminists will complain about men man-spreading, you know, because they have balls and they kind of can't put their legs together, which can squish them, painful, ow, but they don't care because a man is not a woman. They complain about men man-spreading, but yet they will walk around in bloody pants. If you dare say something about that, that's period shaming. Hamilton never was and never will be sexy. That is disgusting and disrupting to everyone else. It makes everyone else uncomfortable.
You guys want to hear the rest of this? You guys want to hear the rest of her?
Nah, I'm good. I get it. Yeah. But okay. Here's where she already messed up at. See, you can always tell if a feminist, if an anti-feminist is full of shit or not. When she said, do they deserve equal rights? Absolutely. Why? Why do you deserve the same rights and privileges as I do when you don't bring the same value to society that I do? You're not, when you can't do the things that I can do. I can build, right? If this country were to crumble right now, it would be the men rebuilding, not the women. So why do the women need the same right privileges as the men? They don't earn them. Men earn every right and privilege that they have, because when you know, times are rough and it's time, you know, for the rubber to meet the road, it's the men that are doing the hard lifting, the heavy lifting, and the hard jobs, not the women.
Right. So this I haven't seen this either. It's, what would happen if men disappeared? I want to see what they say about this.
What would happen if all men disappeared? Viagra would not be produced anymore. Hair transplant companies would go bankrupt. Women will ignore raised seats for the toilet. And companies that sell urinals will quickly leave the business. And this is only the beginning. Prepare to be amazed. God, what's going on? Be prepared that he will not answer you. After all, as you know, God is also a man. And they all evaporated this morning, including the majority of church attendance. So the Vatican is quiet today, as never before. Adolf Hitler started the Second World War, tried to conquer the world, and created a nuclear bomb. Killed 11 million people. During the terror of Stalin in the USSR, 20 million people died. Mao Zedong became famous for his violence, and his Great Leap Forward campaign led to the death of 40 million people. It is a city that some men have not disappeared before. In the meantime, until the world without men began to fall apart, women would have to take the government into their own hands. So there would be no more wars. After all, women know that there are much worse things that you can do with another person than just kill them. Habitual life would change beyond recognition. 91% of electrical engineers in the United States were men, as well as 97.6% of electrical grid installers. So at the beginning, you would have to be in the dark. Do not try to turn on your tap. 95.5% of workers in wastewater treatment plants and system operators were men. It would be difficult to travel. 95.9% of the aircraft pilots and flight engineers were men. And almost 100% of engineers and operators of the locomotives were men. However, to travel not only to other countries, but also to reality, you do not even need to go out. Simply subscribe to the Iplan channel and click the bell to see the most exciting adventures. In the meantime, you may be more fortunate with bus drivers, almost half of whom are women. But the streets are likely to be chaos, and there will be no one man to help you deal with this. It's good that no one will start chasing the streets, taking advantage of the mess. After all, fans of Formula One disappeared. During the 68 years of the World Cup, only 5 women competed at the Grand Prix compared to 822 men in the same period. Sport in general will change a lot. Football and wrestling teams of the NCAA disappeared. There will be much less boxing battles, wrestling, and weightlifting on TV. There were the bulk of the men there. Women will have so many worries that there will be no time to play sports. However, as well as solace oneself with drink, soon the alcohol industry will decline. Prior to this, the average American guy drank 23 gallons of beer, 15 pints of wine, and 10 pints of spirits every year. All in all, each year, about 200 million barrels, that's 6.2 billion gallons of beer, are produced. And they bought alcoholic beverages worth about $116 billion. Most likely, women will find a more rational application of this money. All women will actively explore new professions, so some old ones will disappear. There are 40 to 42 million prostitutes in the world, according to a report from Foundation Philly, via La Figaro. 3/4 of them are between the ages of 13 and 25, and 80% of them are female. Would it be good if the men disappeared? Absolutely not. Even with the iridescent development of events where women manage to understand the complex mechanism of the universe, the most terrible problem would be the impossibility of reproduction. 3.52 billion of women would soon be reduced to several million. Then humanity will exist for a while, only thanks to the banks and sperm. But without new donors, our race will be doomed. You can hope for DNA research and cloning, but that's another story. And what would happen if cloning became a common thing and you met your clone? See the next video.
Interesting. So what you guys talk about, the electrical grids, the water, like the and they didn't even get into who builds roads and bridges. What do you say, 75% in the airlines, but you'd have no airplanes because men created that. You'd have no electricity. Mm-hmm. Men created that also. As well as phones, cell phones, computers, even though women believe they have created computers, the internet, all men.
Your New York City transit system, your subways would be shut down. I don't think there's hardly any female train drivers.
I've never seen one, and not that I've seen them all, but I've never ever seen a female train driver ever in New York City. I think he said 100%. Didn't he say almost 100% of train operators in the U.S. were men?
Yes. Yes. So even pilots. When it comes to pilots, there are very few female pilots.
You couldn't even have pilots without men because there'd be no airplanes. We don't even hear how many men died trying to invent flight, jumping off a mountain to see if it would fly.
Right, right. I tell you what, man, if you really want to hear some of the funny early aviation, it's they're kind of funny, but they're sad at the same time because you know that that person died when they did that. But, yeah, it's horrible, man. When men were first trying to figure out flight, you're right. It was a bloodbath.
And this is why women would have...
You literally had the hold my beer and watch this movement going on.
Exactly. They built feathered wings spread out. They tried all kinds of things. You see those. They had movie film back then, so you saw some of the contraptions that they created, and they literally were jumping off of mountains. What was the guy's name? The first parachute. It was in the 1700s.
Yeah, I was just about to bring him up. I was just about to tell you about the guy who invented the parachute. That guy, oh, my God, it's horrible what happened to that guy.
Right. No. The first guy who made it work. I mean, it was a risk. I mean, he's the first guy who made it work, but how many guys it failed? See, women won't take those.
No. Right. No, I'm talking about the guy who one of the failures. He was, even him, you know, he still died a horrible death.
What the video was getting at, there'd be a lot of things that just don't exist at all. I mean, technically,
right.
Here's what I'm saying. They wouldn't even have fire because fire is so risky. It's dangerous. Women would have been still living in caves with no fire. They wouldn't have been cutting down big trees, carrying them up and building houses. They just would have stayed in the cave.
Your statement is inaccurate. They wouldn't be living because animals would eat them.
Oh, look, free food, a free buffet.
Yeah, exactly, Joe, exactly. Every bear would be like, oh, look, Sizzler's open again.
And another point to make, too, to you forget to mention the men who discovered the iron ore and figured out how to cook that iron down and make weapons and tools with it.
Chemistry. That was chemistry, and it was dangerous.
Yeah, it was. It's still there now. The steel mills and the foundries now. That stuff,
exactly.
Always been a lot of dudes in this type of stuff.
No question.
Fierce feminists. I hate to
see it. So I saw
this is the exact reason why feminism was classified as a mental illness. It's just a bunch of women who are being childish because they're upset that men were born with a biological advantage over them. Get over it.
Right. Exactly. So
we're a sexually dimorphic species. Get over it.
And so that's part of what I'm getting at is like, why don't we just accept these things? I think it's a crime against humanity to try and force little girls to be little boys. Like you should, and here's the other part. Major in math, generally people who major in math and physics have very high IQs. There's where the problem starts for girls and women because women generally have average IQs above average. That when it comes to high IQs, the overwhelming majority of high IQs in the United States are men. There are very few women who have high IQs, meaning 131 or higher. And the higher you go over 130, over 140, that you have even less women and it's more men. But those people with those IQs are more likely to major in math and physics. So what we're trying to do is force women to do these things, and they technically don't have the intellectual capacity. It doesn't make them dumb. I mean, they can have an IQ of 125, even 130, but it doesn't mean they are going to be as proficient in math as a guy who is has an IQ of 160 or even 140. So we're trying to force girls like, you can do it, you know, do it. And that's, and to your point, Chris, that's how we're going to end up with more women drug addicts and alcoholics, because we're telling them they have to do it by saying, you can do it, you're a girl power, you can do better. But we're really forcing them to do things that they're not necessarily built for.
I agree. And they even go so far as to trick them by catering the educational system to the way they learn, which just further, you know, pulls the wool over their eyes, you know. So they cater the educational system to the way they learn, and they do really well and all the way to through high school. And then when they get to college, they find out, you know, they get a slap in the face. They find out they're not as smart as they thought they were. And so now colleges have had to cater their educational system to the way they learn. But the one thing they can't do is in STEM fields, there's no way of getting around that. They can't do that. So when they try to enter those fields, they fail miserably.
Well, I tell you what also happens is they change their majors. So they go in with microbiology. And come out with a degree in government studies.
Yeah, or liberal arts.
But gender studies. The Malcolm Gladwell did some research on that, and he said, you know, a lot of people will go to Harvard, and maybe you were at the top of your class in high school, and you get to Harvard, you're not even a top 25. You know, you're struggling to be in the top 75%. And so you can't figure out why everyone else is learning, you know, the science or math faster than you. So they go into, like you said, liberal arts or something that's a lot easier. One of his solutions was the person should have just gone to Maryland University instead of Harvard. They would have come out better. But yeah, and even that can still happen at Maryland. So, but it happens a lot. Like the majors just get changed. And it's something that's not really discussed very much.
Right. It happens in particularly in engineering. You know, you'll start off, you know, freshman year with, you know, half your class may be female. By the time you get to that junior year, you may have like one or two females left in your class.
Well, and remember that woman CEO who had an IT company said, you know, when she went to school, 100 men and 14 girls, and the girls cheated. And then when she hired them, they sucked. They didn't apply it the way men did. And the men put in more hours, and the girls didn't want to do that. So you know, this whole notion of equality, that example is so perfect, because here's a woman who said, I wanted to support the whole, you know, empower girls, and it failed. Like, the women failed me. So I just hired the men because they got the job done. So I don't know how women refute things like that. I want to play a video that I think it's a comedy. It's more satire. This is a woman dating women. This is how she understood men, by dating women.
So as you may remember, I came out as bisexual last year. And since then, I have been dating women. And what I found very fascinating is that the more I date women, the more I find myself understanding heterosexual men. Let me explain. Exhibit A. I was on a first date with a girl who asked me out, by the way. This is relevant. Because when the check came, she never once made a move to pay. Not even like the fake, let me reach for my purse move. And though I don't mind paying on a date, part of me felt like, you know, the offer would have been nice. I was also a little taken aback that she didn't even say thank you. And I never heard from her again. It really made me feel like she just asked me out so she could have a free dinner. And the moment I thought that, I was like, oh my God, I sound like all of my guy friends right now. And my argument against why guys should pay for dates has always been like, look, girls take hours to get ready. Our investment is looking really nice for you. Makeup, clothes, that costs money too. But we were both girls in this situation. We both took hours to get ready, so I definitely felt slighted. Exhibit B. On another date, I went back to a girl's house, and I ended up making friends with her cat. That's not a pun. I'm talking about her literal, actual animal. And she said, wow, my cat never likes anyone. I better go out and buy a wedding dress. And again, I felt like I got some serious perspective. I have been guilty of making these kinds of jokes on dates with men. I never really thought anything of it. I was just being silly. But then when I was on the receiving end of it, I suddenly understood the panic. And finally, exhibit C. One girl invited me back into her house, and her specific words were, do you want to come in and make out? Obviously, I'm like, yeah, you're really pretty. I want to press my face to yours. But then when we got there, we both just sat on the couch, and she talked till like 3 a.m. And I was like, yo, girl, I got to wake up at like 6 a.m. I was told there would be kisses here. There are no kisses. I'm like, look, I don't want to sound like an asshole. Like, I don't mind talking. I love talking. But she could have said, do you want to come in and just talk? And I would have had totally different expectations for the evening. You know, finally I started falling asleep, and I was like, hey, I gotta go. And I gave her one kiss and left. And I felt bad that the amount of kisses promised did not equal the amount of kisses delivered. And once again, I felt like a douche, was upset that I did not receive the expected physical kisses I was promised. And I wanted to talk about this because I felt like this has really been expanding my perspective when it comes to dating. I finally understand a lot of the complaints my male friends have about dating that I admit I would usually dismiss. But now I really get it when they say,
dating is just so expensive, man. Sometimes I feel like a girl says me to like me for you, it's just more than a boyfriend.
I wish it were more socially expected to go Dutch on the first few dates, but you're like a jerk if you even suggest it. And any experience that expands your compassion and understanding is one that I think is worthy of sharing. What about you? Have you had any experiences that have shifted your point dramatically? Let me know.
So I played this because share it. Yeah.
I've seen that video. I like that video.
I played it because when two women get married, that's kind of what happens. They are disappointed that the other one doesn't take the initiative because they're both sitting there waiting for the other to take initiative. It happens when it comes to paying for dates. It happens when it comes to sex. It happens for so many things. It's surprising because if women are saying they want equality, it means that they would be responsible. Now we're talking about the social aspect of equality. And so women claiming, you know, this is why I asked the question, do women really want equality? Because what you just saw, that would disappear. Women would be as equally responsible for walking up to a guy and saying, hey, I'd like to get to know you. I want to take you out. What's your number? And then when the bill comes, she's reaching in. She's getting her credit card and paying for it. And it's expected. It's not like right now. And if a woman does that on a first date and you let the woman pay, a lot of women say, I will never go out with that guy again. He actually
That's
allows
true.
So,
yeah.
So, but they don't.
That's
that
true.
They don't want equality. This is just
they don't want equality,
right? But it so that we're looking at the social aspect of equality now. So right, we talked about war, Joe. I showed how when a queen was on a throne without a man, they were 27% more likely to go to war than kings were.
Yeah,
so,
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, you know, we've got a lot of lies that we're living with, and then when it comes to social. Here's a woman who tried bisexual and saw that even with two women, they're flaky. Even with when it's two women, technically that is the level playing field where they have equality and they still fail to show up. So
You know why? Because of the sense of entitlement that both of them have. If both of them, let's say, for example, are eights, and that's the reason why they're attracted to each other, they expect each of the other to make the first move. So they're going to sit there on the couch until one of them makes the first move. And as you were talking about a minute ago with women approaching men, women cannot stand rejection. We get used to it after a while. They can't take it. Can't handle it.
Woo! I heard that too, but it's kind of
the
tables are turning now.
By the time you're in your late teens, when you get rejected, it's like it's a joke to you, right? Because you know it's going to happen sometimes. You know you're not going to you're always going to strike out at some chick. So when you get rejected, it's like, who cares? I got other shit to do anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, if you're lucky, I was an ugly teenager. I wasn't considered good looking until I got into my late 20s after I started lifting weights a bit. And then all of a sudden, my body and my facial features came together. And all of a sudden, it would happen like almost overnight. I became an attractive man. But I wasn't, as a teenager, I wasn't the guy that was considered handsome.
Isn't that the story of
a
duckling turning into a swan?
They say you got
Mr. Jefferson said, you got to grow into that. You got to mature into all of that, what he's talking about.
Yeah, that
right.
happened to me. So my body, my facial features, everything came together, and it came together, suddenly because it just came together. And prior to that, like about a week or two prior to that, I remember I was at a dance, and I was asking some girls to dance, and about half, 60%, 70% said no. 2 weeks after that, I was asking the same girls and then other girls to dance, and not only did they say yes, and from that time on, they were saying yes with a nice little smile, talking to me as we're dancing, and I'm going, okay, I don't mind, But I knew what happened. The body came together at the right time, the right way. It's like seeing something that was blurry. All of a sudden, it's no longer blurry anymore. That's what happened to me. That's the way I make the analogy. So, Chris, and most teenagers, can take rejection with a grain of salt. With me, I was getting rejected left and right. And, of course, I know what I'm talking.
You haven't been rejected you've been rejected by white women. White women, when they reject you, they do it nicely. You have not been rejected.
Not all the time.
No.
Chris,
no.
Let me put it in perspective.
No, they can be way more vicious, Chris. Like nasty vicious.
That has not been my experience.
Really especially if it's really hot.
If
you're at a dance with a meat market mentality, they don't have to say anything, but they'll look at you and they'll make a face like, how do you dare ask me to dance, shit
okay.
like this.
Yeah, see, you said they look at you and they make that face. No. When you're rejected by a black woman, like say at a club, she wants everybody in the club to know that she rejected you.
Really?
So she's very vocal about it.
Oh, really? Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So, and it's not going to be nice. It's going to be, you ugly motherfucker. How dare you think you had
any
chance come over here trying to holler at me? She's not going to require. Like I said, she wants everybody in the club to know that she rejected you.
Oh,
Chris, telling the truth.
God, man.
And
really, Kendrick?
Those
women need a fucking beatdown. That's just downright disrespectful to the max.
Now you seeing why I had to get in and all that old therapist and dealing with the psychiatrists and all them. Cause like that's why I was telling Chris. Until then, that's. You want that dude to be masculine, but you don't want that dude to get to the point where Chris, where you you almost getting downright physical with her like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what a lot of guys are doing now. Because, Joe, even to this day, Joe, their new way of doing it now, when guys approach them and try to talk to them, when they get ready to reject them, you know what the first thing they do is? They pull out their phone and they go either on Facebook Live or on Instagram Live, and they show the internet how they're rejecting this guy and not
You're
doing it in a nice
me.
Way. No, I'm not kidding you. I'm dead serious.
Holy fuck.
That's why I said you haven't been rejected.
Put up with these fucking black chicks?
That's how some of us going overseas.
You haven't been rejected until you've been rejected by a black woman.
I guess so. Holy
shit. Mr. Joe, that's how come you got the passport game, folks. Them brothers going overseas, Chris, but they ain't just going over there for women. They going over there buying real estate and property and things of that nature.
Yeah, a lot of them, for a lot of black women, the reason why they're upset now is because these same men that they rejected went on to become successful. And they dated out, so they found them, you know, a nice white woman, an Asian woman or a Latina. The Latinas are killing it, by the way. So they settled down, they had nice families, and they're living high-quality lives, right? Meanwhile, this black woman who's been over here rejecting people on Facebook Live all day long, you know, just to be a bitch, she's still miserable and stuck in the projects. Got two or three baby daddies, you know, with you
That's
know,
where she fucking belongs.
Exactly.
Jesus, she's that fucking
that.
Nasty.
Right. Yeah, in their mind, that black man that they rejected was supposed to wait, you know, keep bettering himself, but wait until all their options were exhausted, and then he come back to them, and then they would accept them, you know.
God, fuck. I thought you were kidding around when you were telling me about the way to
fucking
black.
No, I'm being serious. No, nothing. Everything I say is true.
Yeah, man. Trust me. Chris ain't got no reason to make that up, Mr. Joe. I'm going to live with you.
Seriously? Damn.
On a socioeconomic class, those are the bottom of the barrel of women. I mean, I'm not saying like not all, but I mean, there are some nasty women who are in higher socioeconomic classes. But like what Chris is talking about, those are... That's bottom of the barrel. So, you know, if you're in a project, there are lots of things that they just don't learn. And that's why that's the exact.
Apparently.
That's why they're
God
there.
Damn.
Ted, even in the higher echelon women, some of them can be, what you call it, like Mr. Joe said, give you that look, but they're going to be graceful about rejecting you. They ain't going to just put your business all out there for everybody in the world to know.
That's what I'm
saying. You know
saying.
What I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, the first time I got rejected by a white woman, he did it so nice, and I was like, holy shit, like, he did it so nice. He did it so nice, I thought I still had a chance. Like, it was just that. I'm like, wait a minute. She didn't call me a ugly motherfucker. She didn't do none of this other shit. I'm like, I still got a shot.
Hmm.
Well, so one of the things.
Yeah, no. You go to a black woman and she has to tear you down, not just reject you. Any other woman, they'll just tell you no, thank you. Some of them, they'll say no, you know, hey, no, I don't want to date you. I don't want to, you know, fuck you or anything, but I'll still dance with you, you know. Some women will do that, you know, but, you know, black women, no. When it's no from them, it's a hard no all across the board. They don't even want to acknowledge your existence.
Fuck, man. You made me feel better.
there's a meme that goes like this. The woman says, this guy comes up to me. He asked me out, and I said no. And she said, now I'm very upset and depressed because I wanted to go out with him. I only said no because I wanted him to try harder. So that is another part of it. There's the game playing that many women do. I just wanted to see you squirm and work harder. You didn't do that, so now I'm really upset because you walked away.
And then they say to you, well, you give up easily. Well,
exactly.
Fuck.
Exactly.
You got to, shit. God damn. Oh, no wonder you guys are this fucking angry. Fuck yeah. Fucking bro, put your fucking business out in the fucking club like that just to be fucking nasty? Doesn't even know you? And she's speaking that way to a man?
I'm seriously surprised you haven't seen it. Or you probably seen it and thought, oh, man, that guy must have really done something to piss her off. And no, he was just trying to ask her out on a date.
Shit. Damn.
Well, I was through when Chris told about what he seen out there with that Humvee. I would have been through then, Chris. I would have been shaking my head and going about my business.
After a while, you become so... So we had a storeroom on our ship, or a supply room, and it was a huge supply room. It was known that after a certain time of night, the senior enlisted, there was several certain junior enlisted girls that they would take into the supply room, and they would literally pimp out to other people on the ship.
You're
so like I said, it happens so much that you become desensitized to it, and it's like, But at the same time, you know not to ever try to start a relationship with those girls, you know what I mean? You know damn well no matter how drunk you get, you're not going to kiss them.
Right.
Shit. Hey, Chris.
But, yeah.
Where did you get your information from when you were talking about if women were in the Army or in the armed services and they had to go to war, they actually had a study that showed that they couldn't fire the same kind of weapons we could, that they had to have weapons that were made for them, lighter weapons.
I forgot where I found that study at. Yeah, yeah. The reason why we can't switch to the 308 or a higher caliber than the 223s that we use or 5.56.
Because of the recoil.
Where I found
and
that
shit.
Study.
Oh yeah.
I'll look it up. Yeah. But even right now, there's been a debate. So the government brought up this around the 6.8. I think Grundle is what it's called. The government, mainly military, bought up all those rounds, and they were going to switch to a new rifle and use this round, right? Because this round is it penetrates Kevlar. It naturally penetrates Kevlar. It's a high movement, high velocity, very powerful round. It penetrates Kevlar. It cuts through Kevlar like a hot knife through butter, right?
Wow.
So much so that, like, if you were to get caught carrying it on the street by a cop, like, you get asked a lot of questions, right? FN, they don't like, cops don't like to see those either for the same reason.
Yeah, they call them cop killer bullets, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the military is probably going to scrap that idea because, once again, you have more women in the military. They're starting to give them combat roles and let them in, you know, SEAL training, all this and that. Well, they can't handle. They can't handle the power of those weapons, right? I was in when I first went in. We used to be able to shoot the M60 standing up. Now we've all seen Rambo, right? You saw Rambo hold up the M16 one-handed and just let loose with that gun, right? Well, yeah. I used to do that. I could do that with the M60. You know, I could stand up. And once it gets going, like, it's really not that heavy of a gun. It's not that bad. But I've seen that gun just about spin women around
knock
sideways.
Over the bitches, right?
Yeah. So, and it's so bad that when women got ready to shoot it, they would hand it to them. Excuse me. They would hand it to them, and the man would have to stand behind them and brace their back for them to keep them from falling back on their ass.
Jesus.
Not to mention, Chris, that big 50 caliber.
Because of that, they stopped letting the men shoot the M60 standing up, which that was fun for us. So then they put the M60 on a bipod, and now we had to lay down on a deck in a prone position and shoot the M60 that way. Which, and don't get me wrong, in a combat scenario, that's how you're going to fire it anyway, but it's still fun to shoot that motherfucker standing up because it's a fully automatic fucking machine gun, man. You stand up and just let it go.
Yeah. All this political correctness ruining, Kendrick.
Oh, ain't no problem. But I was gonna say, Chris, that thing, that other thing, Rambo had was on that tripod. What you call that? That's like a 60 caliber, that big machine gun he was using. That thing you got to have. Yeah, you got to have a tripod on that thing, right?
No, you don't. No, that's what I was shooting standing up. As a matter of fact, I had a picture. I lost it. Where I used to stand watch on the fantail of the ship with that gun. And I could shoot that gun standing up easily.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. But that's not the Gatling gun. The Gatling gun, that's over 50 calibers. That the fucking Gatling gun penetrate fucking almost a battleship.
Yeah. The 50 cals the 50 cals were a different story. You know, 50 cals were mounted. But But even then,
Yeah, can you imagine a chick trying to fire that? I mean, you put that on a fucking wheels and you put the broad behind that trying to fire the 50 caliber. She'd be fucking flying backwards.
Hey Joe, we had a woman that was in security. To this day I don't know how she did it. So we have a rail that goes around the edge of the flight deck, right? It goes up probably about, 6 inches off the deck. So we're qualifying for our 9mm, and I don't know how she did it, but somehow she missed aiming at her target, which was, a silhouette that was just torso height of your average 5'8" person, right? She hit the deck, hit that little rail, the bullet fractured, went in several pieces, and hit a couple people. She was the only person in security for 6 months not allowed to carry a weapon.
Well, at least they did something about it, but fuck. Jesus
right.
Christ.
So whenever we had like a real security threat, all the security personnel would come out with real guns. She was come out with a plastic gun as if nobody would know that this red plastic gun was like not a real threat.
A red gun? Jesus. Yeah, nobody's going to notice that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But she would carry this little red plastic gun around in her holster as if it was a real thing. It was absolutely hilarious to watch.
Unreal. Oh, man. This is incredible. Ay. What you doing, Ted? Reading more comments?
Yeah, this is the world we live in.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Women. Go ahead.
And women, they don't think they have female privilege. It's amazing. You talk to them and they always got to point the finger at us. If it weren't for us protecting them, they wouldn't be able to run their mouths. Fuck.
Hey, you know what, Chris? That's funny though. Now, these people talk about you gotta listen to what come out for a mountain time, man. Yeah, you said the police horrible and the police, but who protecting you? Who putting their life on the line though? Protecting this earth. So we gonna defund these people. So now that's just the stupidest thing I ever heard when all this police stuff was going on. How you going to get rid of the people that's serving and protecting everybody, patrolling the streets? I ain't got time to patrol the streets, Chris. What that look like?
You know,
some renegade cop? Come on, man.
So you know what happened when they started that whole defund the police? Assaults on women went up, dramatically. And the first thing they did is go back and beg the police to come back.
Yeah. But you know what the plan is? Remember you were talking about the plan of using the women as part of the New World Order? You know, part of this plan of the New World Order is to defund the police, just like back in the 1930s in Hitler's time, and then replace the police with the criminals that the fucking cops put in jail. So now you give the fucking criminals a badge, but what do you think they're going to do? They're going to fucking start killing everybody and saying it's in the name of the law.
Yeah, that's who they want. That's who they want to fuck anyway. You know, they want to fuck the thugs and them that they obviously think the thugs are going to sell their drugs and patrol the neighborhoods and make the neighborhoods safe at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sell the drugs, make them safe. Okay.
Yeah. If you look at where like that has happened similarly, you can look right south of the border in Mexico. El Chapo,
oh, yeah?
Some of those drug cartels,
yes,
they have literally taken by force companies with natural resources. They have taken over oil wells or gold mines and just said, this is ours now. Literally. So,
what do the federales do about it? Nothing, right?
What you just described, there would be nothing stopping that from happening here. The same thing would happen.
Oh, yeah.
They
take over the water supply and say, especially the savvy, the smart criminals, they'd be like, hell, there's more money in water supply than there is in heroin or cocaine, because if we own water, everyone wants that. And we can turn off the spigot and say, pay up. Your prices have gone up, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Just like in
small
Mass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see,
remember
the
example of that was, how about last summer with the six block BLM? Took over six blocks in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, but this my thing. But this my thing, Ted and Chris and Mr. Joe. I would like to challenge you guys' minds on the thing. How would that play out if those criminals trying to go at war with the elites over these resources and things like that? How would that play out? I don't think that's going to end too well.
No, I just told they do it. They did it in Mexico, and not only did they take natural resources. El Chapo was locked up. They locked up his two sons, and he told his boys to get his sons, and they actually did. And to do that, they had to have a direct military confrontation with the Mexican army, and they actually won. The drug lords beat the Mexican army and got his sons.
Mm.
So, where you tell me something similar to a Pablo Escobar type of situation?
Yeah, this El Chapo is... someone made a list of the top 100 most influential people in the world, and his name was number 75 on that list.
Wow, El Chapo was...
I'm surprised it was that low.
The top most influential people in the world, and he made it a criminal. I was actually shocked because this was Forbes that put this list together. And you had all these, you know, Bill Gates and all these people.
And Buffett. Yeah.
Warren Buffett. Right.
I'm surprised he was just that low at 75. I figured him and Pablo Escobar would be higher.
No, Escobar is dead. This is just a couple of years ago, so I'm...
No, I know Escobar is dead, but you said of all time, right?
No, I didn't say that. I just said the top...
Oh, okay, I thought you said of all time.
The top 100 most influential people in the world. So Escobar is dead. So he doesn't...
Yeah,
count.
Yeah, he's dead. I thought you said, my bad, yeah. I thought you said dead or alive, but yeah.
No, influential, right? So... not in history, but El Chapo wouldn't have made it, neither would Escobar. You'd have some other people there. You'd have to put Hitler on that list, for sure. But what I'm saying is it was Forbes. Like, you would think that Forbes is dealing with the corporate. I was really surprised to see a criminal make the list at all, because everyone else was like a pedigree. But he was on the list at number 75.
Well, Ted, if he was on that list, then Bernie Madoff ought to be on that list too, shouldn't he?
I don't remember. I know Bill Gates was on it. I don't remember who was number one.
Yeah, man, that's just wild to you. You just told me something I ain't know.
But yeah, it's I think the only thing that's gonna change thing is they keep asking for equality and we keep shielding them from it. That's why I said give them that equality. Let them have a taste of that medicine.
That's right.
Give them 100% equality for about 3 months. I guarantee you they won't want it anymore.
That's right. I'm with you on that one. You let them know they're going to be held accountable, and let them expose their weaknesses, and nobody to come by with the chivalrous attitude to protect them. Oh yeah, they'll be going back to their favorite occupation of victimhood. All right.
Right. Because see, right now they get to claim that they're as strong as a man, you know, without having to form like a man, because there's always a man around them to shield them from the full repercussions of what it means to be a man. But remove those safety nets.
See, that's actually the point, right? That's the point. So that's why I said the women really want equality. Because, like, we talked about this, how two men come together when they're around. We're having an argument. We know there's a certain line you just don't cross with the guy. Women don't understand that. But if you say, now we're equal, and I can actually break your jaw, and there are no repercussions because I'm treating like a man, then women will start to learn the same boundaries that men do.
That's part of Bill Burr's act. When he's talking about what he would do if he, if he knew nobody would kick his ass, he'd be up there in the face of guys who were 6'4", 240 pounds all the time, knocking their desserts out of their hand and the cigarettes out of their hand and everything, you know.
That's what women do. Exactly what women would do. The guy is 6'6", we hear. And then these football players go to jail because they defended themselves
They're told to, that if they get in a conversation with a woman, to go lock themselves in the bathroom and call the police. Imagine you're 6'4", 240 pounds, you bench press 575 pounds, and you're running to the bathroom to lock yourself in the bathroom from someone who's 5'3" and 120 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because you do that, and not because you're scared of this person, not because this person can actually beat you up, but because of the repercussions you'll suffer from other men if you do hurt this person.
That's right.
And then now this person actually gets to go around thinking that they can actually beat your ass.
Chris, but you see what happened with Roy and Siegfried, though, did you? When Pooh with the tag name. That tag of Maul, Roy and Siegfried put on stage, and guess what? That was it. You just can't keep on poking and prying with that thing. Well, that's the same way with this feminism stuff, man. Them big old dudes don't start to lash at.
No, they have too much to lose. You know, they have too much. They're millionaires. They don't want to get thrown in prison because they've been living, too high on the hog for them to even fathom going to prison and living that lifestyle in prison.
Well, that guy, is he still locked up? What's his name? Stacy, who got up against the wall? I showed that.
I don't know, but. I say every man's role model should be Ray Caruth. You know, that's everybody knows the story of Ray Caruth, right?
No.
Ray Caruth was a wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, and he had been banging this one stripper, and she got pregnant, and she first agreed to have an abortion, whatever. And then when she found out she could ruin his life by keeping the baby and putting him on child support and all this, he decided to, you know, take matters into his own hands, let's just say that. And he ended up doing less time in jail than he would have been spent on child support. So from a financial standpoint, it wasn't a bad move for him, what he did.
Wow. You know, we hear about hearing in large numbers in the U.S. chalk it up to sex factors, but I wonder how much of it is what you just described. Because they, one of the things that they did, I know on this, at this last year, they hadn't been keeping stats on the amount of women who were murdered if they were pregnant. And come to find out they were murdered by their boyfriend, a husband. In some cases, it was a side chick murdered by the wife. The side chick was pregnant, wanted to have it. His wife, but the point is, how often is this happening? And we don't, it's not being reported that way. The women, because of whether it was pregnancy or anything, cheaper to get rid of her than the child support or go to jail. We have no way of keeping stats on it, but
I wish we did, because I've often said that, you know, it's amazing about the kind of patience that men have, especially when these broads divorce them. And let's say a certain percentage of them admit, I only married you for your money, and now he's got to pay child support and alimony until she marries again. So, I mean, that's robbing a man of his assets, and finally he knows about it because she tells him.
Right.
And I can't see this from men who are rich who marry like Trump for the third time. Once you marry once, you should learn your lesson. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't even get married if you've got assets, you know, that are way up there, $10 million or more. Because a prenuptial agreement, you cannot make a prenuptial agreement that will deny her a certain percentage of your assets.
Yeah, no, Trump,
I don't think
it.
Any state allows that.
No,
Trump tried to do it.
No.
She still got Trump, $25
million. No, listen.
She got $25
million. That was part of the prenuptial agreement. His first, he factors in a prenuptial agreement a certain amount that he's willing to let them walk away from. And that's his first wife, prenup, said she would get $99 million. She contested, and she said, "I didn't know he was going to have this much money at this point, so I deserve more." And she contested, sued. He was able to get another $5-6 million. I think it was another five. She ended up with $104 million, but she was trying to get significantly more, and failed.
But you know, right? But since you're familiar with that, you know what else she? You know what else she did? She was not supposed to write any tell-all books, but she did. She wrote a novel, and everybody knew it was all about Trump.
Yeah, but you think about that. How sad is it that you bled somebody for $100 million, and that's still not enough to you?
Still not enough. Yeah.
But so if we take it back to the topic, women for equality. So let's take that Ivanka Trump ended up with 105. Let's just say she ended up with 100, right? Elon Musk's wife, Jeff Bezos' wife, ended up with how many billions of dollars? Elon Musk's wife ended up with something. Bill Gates' wife ended up with something. If women are supposed to be so equal and they can do everything,